Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
John Bowne reports on the latest developments in Europe.
And I'll vote for the ban because saving the lives of police officers, young and old, and innocent civilians, young and old, is more important than preventing imagined tyranny.
A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. This is the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, adopted on December 15, 1791. The law was based on the 1689 English Bill of Rights, traced back to John Locke, Enlightenment philosopher and the father of classical liberalism. Sir William Blackstone, 18th century judge and politician, described this right as an auxiliary right, supporting the natural rights of self-defense, resistance to oppression, and the civic duty to act in concert in defense of the state. How is it that these basic human rights aren't recognized in the 21st century? WorldNet Daily reports, obtaining a working firearm and ammunition in Germany, Britain, Denmark, and the Netherlands is practically impossible for the average citizen. Germany, for instance, requires a psychological evaluation, the purchase of liability insurance, and verifiable compliance with strict firearm storage and safety rules. And self-defense is not even a valid reason to purchase a gun in these countries. But in Austria, guns are flying off of the shelves, and the majority of buyers are women. Women fearing for their lives in the very real danger of being raped. European women are being terrorized. Sweden is the undisputed rape capital of Europe, but refuses to even address the epidemic. CBN reports, recent police statistics show that in the capital city of Oslo, Norway, 100% of assault rapes between strangers were committed by immigrant non-Western males, and 9 out of 10 of their victims were native Norwegian women. To protect themselves, some blonde Norwegian women have reportedly begun dyeing their hair black, and many travel in groups. In Germany and England, a rape epidemic of thousands of young European girls is quietly underway by hordes of Muslim gangs, as the New World Order puppets drop the blame on the very people being victimized, citing Islamophobia as an excuse that can only hide the truth for so long. WorldNet Daily reports, Alan Gottlieb, executive vice president of the Second Amendment Foundation, said he recently returned from a gun rights event in Europe, where he sensed a change in attitude toward firearms. I just returned from a gun rights meeting in Belgium, and I can attest that all over Europe, people now want the means to defend themselves, Gottlieb told WorldNet Daily. Self-defense is no longer a dirty word. In countries like Austria, where it is still legal to own a firearm, gun sales are at record levels. I can tell you firsthand that people in Europe now wish they had a Second Amendment. New World Order pawn Angela Merkel of Germany has led Europe on a collision course with an inevitable destiny, where Europe is handed over to the fleeing masses streaming into small European towns from Africa and the Middle East. In Africa and the Middle East, birth rates are exploding while Europe's birth rates diminish. We aren't witnessing a compassionate migration. What we are observing and experiencing worldwide is a coordinated shift away from developed countries operated by republics where human rights and freedom are encouraged to a third world hell pit of Sharia caliphates naively controlled by a small elitist totalitarian monarchy. For all the bleeding hearts out there, ask yourselves, why would the leaders of these nations open their countries to waves of immigrants while reducing the welfare of their own citizens to a living hell where even the right to defend yourself is null and void? John Bowne for InfoWars.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, the 28th day of October, 2015. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be back after this break and kick off the huge broadcast that we have lined up today. George Norrie, Max Kaiser, Leanne McAdoo, and more.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, it's being called the most serious military confrontations with China since the Korean War, where China used North Korea as their proxy. The situation in the South China Sea and the Spratly Islands, China basically threatening military action if any aircraft or ships come back through that area. The United States is promising to do just that. We have big developments in Ukraine, huge developments in Syria, across the board. The world is moving into deepening crises. But our top stories today deal with political correctness, because this is the true cultural conscious tyranny that is meant to end free speech as we know it and demonize all human activity. Then laws are to be passed restricting, banning, fining, feeing, demonizing anyone that dare questions the official narrative. These are just some of the politically correct headlines today. 5 + 5 + 5 = 15 is wrong. The equivalent of saying 2 + 2 = 4 is wrong, according to Common Core. You must add it up. 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4, not 2 + 2. They tell you how to do the math and make it as confusing as possible and as illogical as possible as the test scores continue to drop. 5 + 5 + 5 = 15 is wrong. It needs to be 3 + 3 + 3 + 3. Parents outraged after student penalized for correctly answering math questions. And the school is defending it. This is not The Onion. This is not satire. Walmart, after one tweet, complained of Israeli soldier costume being sold, and they sell a bunch of other military costumes. It has nothing to do with racism. After one complaint saying an Israeli uniform is racist, just the existence of it, Walmart has banned it. And again, the big corporations always bow down to political correctness because it's their culture of oppression. And so they want to show how much power you have when you engage in political correctness. And then that dovetails with this CNN report. The article on Common Core is at Infowars.com. CNN, what's wrong with this Caitlyn Jenner Halloween costume? And it says the best-selling Halloween costume is Caitlyn Jenner and that it's transphobic. Really, I mean, I could be Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama for Halloween. Wouldn't mean I was being racist or anti-woman or anti-man. Whatever the big topic of the year is, that ends up being the top Hollywood pitch in the type of shows they produce, the movies they make, South Park, The Simpsons. They've all been making fun of Caitlyn Jenner. Are they being transphobic? But it doesn't matter. You're allowed to say you don't like the hype of the brave, wondrous, beautiful, fantastic Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, it's all a Kardashian stunt. I'm sick of the Kardashians being force-fed. And it's not that I find Kim Kardashian ugly. I don't find her the most beautiful. I'm just sick of the force-feeding. My kids will be into a fad. My daughters will be into a fad for 6 months. Then after that, they're sick of it too. They were into Frozen. They watched it 3 times. They wanted the lunch boxes last year. Now I can chase them around the house with a Disney coloring book. People say, I thought you don't support Disney and boycott them. I've said I try to stay away from it now because of their open anti-gun stance and their Captain America going after the Tea Party and the rest of it. Yes, there is a total boycott on for Disney productions and products unless I'm going to see one with the crew to analyze it. But let's shift gears off of that. Now it's hateful if you are Caitlyn Jenner. I've never been in drag in my life. But if it illustrates something, I might just do it. I was talking about it this morning with my personal trainer. I might actually put a beard on to make it even more obnoxious, like Police Academy, and I may actually go out on the streets of Austin on Halloween night as Caitlin Jones and then demand that I be given an ESPN Courage Award. How'd that work out for ESPN? They just laid off 300 people. Their ratings are suddenly plunging in the last 2 months. And it's not just the number of homes they're in where people are unsubscribing. See, people want to, even though sports is a controlled paradigm, even though sports has become the new religion, at least people are competing. And at least it's about human focus, will, and endurance. And it is a very masculine field as well that they've tried to demonize and feminize. But women themselves want to go watch men play more than female sports. I personally like women playing volleyball and tennis and things like that. I mean, I'll be honest, that's the kind of sports I personally like to watch. But most of my buddies like to watch football, NHL, you know, stuff like that, basketball. And I like basketball because it's more entertaining, it's fast moving. What I'm getting at here is that people don't want to see a Courage Award be given to Caitlyn Jenner, not because he was an Olympic athlete decades ago, but because he put a wig on. I mean, I'm sorry. It isn't that he thinks he's a woman. I personally could care less. It's that he looks like a barracuda crossed with a snapping turtle wearing a wig. And so, I mean, if they gave Marilyn Monroe a Lifetime Achievement Award for courage, what did she do that took courage? I find Marilyn Monroe very attractive in her heyday. It's just sick how everything is so rigged. And now they bombard us with this. And then when people make a joke out of it, they say, oh, you're in trouble. It's kind of like that Melissa Harris Perry clip. In fact, let's cue that back up that we played so much yesterday, where they've got the pundits on the show saying, Paul Ryan's a great speaker. It's good the Democrats are supporting him. No, it's not. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, the usual suspects, Barack Obama. He's a really great guy, and he's also a hard worker to get legislation passed. And Melissa Harris Perry says, whoa, let's talk about racism here and that blacks were slaves. That's the hard work going on here, just injecting racial division and racial slavery identity onto anybody and everybody. There's a new video up on Infowars.com that Paul Watson wrote about, and it's two arrogant new Black Panther Party type guys in their military outfits harassing what looks like a 20-year-old Japanese tourist and telling her she's racist and that they will physically attack her if she uses the word that none dare speak, the N-word, that we're bombarded with by gangster hip-hop culture. And, of course, Japan, the Japanese never had anything to do with black slavery. Japanese women particularly are stereotypically sweet and nice. Japan has the lowest crime rate in the world, even safer than Switzerland that has the lowest crime rate in Europe. When there's an earthquake or a fire, there's even less crime. There's almost no crime in Japan. The Japanese are all about not insulting anybody. This woman doesn't speak a word of English. And they keep saying, are we the N-words? And she, all she knows is hip-hop culture that's super popular in Japan. And she's like, yeah, I'm your friend. She's obviously wanting to be picked up. She obviously thinks it's really cool that there's guys in camo. Then they start saying, we're going to physically attack you, and pointing their fingers, so she leaves. See how this Melissa Harris Perry stuff gets projected on everything. Paul Ryan's a hard worker. He'll get lots of stuff passed for the Democrats. Yeah, but let's not forget white slavery, as if a white man could be a hard worker. This is an entire cultural chip on the shoulder takeover where people don't know history, reading, writing, arithmetic, basic social skills. They just know how to get lectured by Melissa Harris Perry, who wants to ban our guns, says you're racist if you don't support Obamacare. And here's the final equation. She knows full well what she's doing. I mean, she is really screwing her audience over. So now hard worker means that you're demeaning black slaves. So no one can ever be a hard worker. No one can ever succeed at anything because the world is stopped in 1865 in a few southern states forever. Every few weeks I see in St. Louis and surrounding areas where there's these communities of Eastern Europeans that never hardly saw a black person where they're from, certainly didn't own any slaves. They were all serfs just 150 years ago themselves, slaves. And they get shot, they get killed, and the people still in it say, because you're white, slaves. I mean, this is crazy town. We're going to skip this network break. I've been getting better about not doing this, but I'm skipping this one because I want to play this Melissa Harris Perry clip just one more time before I get back into the latest news. Here it is.
But let's be fair. If there's somebody who is a hard worker, when he goes to Washington, is Paul Ryan. Not only works with Republicans, but Democrats. You know as well, very well that I work on the immigration issue, trying to get Republicans to support immigration reform. Paul Ryan is somebody who has supported immigration reform, has worked with somebody like Luis Gutierrez. Luis Gutierrez is very respectful, speaks highly of Paul Ryan. This is somebody who's trying to govern.
Alfonso, I feel you, but I just want to pause on one thing, because I don't disagree with you that I actually think Mr. Ryan is a great choice for this role. But I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker, because, I mean, I actually keep an image of folks working in cotton fields on my office wall.
Hey, pause.
Because it is a reminder.
Back it up to the start of it again. Understand, she is claiming territorial control, 360 domination of all language. She is claiming territorial control over any language you use, anything you say, until there is no speech. And that's what Atlantic Monthly and Jerry Seinfeld and countless other liberals have pointed out, is that there basically is no free speech now on these campuses, and the young people are competing with each other to see who can destroy more language, who can call people out, who can dominate and control. It's a bunch of bullies. Ignorant bullies of every race, color, and creed who have joined this political correctness cult. And now it's going into overdrive. You're not going to dress as Caitlyn Jenner. Well, that's it, I am. You are not going to use brown paper bags. Yes, I am. You are not going to use the word mother or father. Yes, I am. You are not going to defend yourself. Yes, I am. You are not going to criticize Obamacare. We'll call you racist. Well, you know what? Go ahead. I don't care. They have a new giant article I'm going to cover in the next segment out from the Southern Poverty Law Center, demonizing the conspiracy myths and bemoaning how dangerous they are and how they're taking over. Why? The imaginary situation of Agenda 21. It's called Margins to the Mainstream, the imaginary paradigm that there is an Agenda 21 to restrict resources, the imaginary conspiracy theory that there is a move to go after the right to keep and bear arms, and you read it, they're trying to, again, buffalo reality, buffalo the police departments, and sit there with a straight face and say they're worried armored vehicles are being delivered to fight the Tea Party and gun owners. They're worried that there's a move to restrict American energy. They're worried there's a plan to come after their guns. They're worried that Common Core is meant to dumb their kids down. They admit that's what it's meant to do and create compliant, servile people that don't have common sense. So let's go back to Melissa Harris Perry, the one that says your kids belong to her. And then they do. They're teaching kids as young as five how to not be male or female and how it's bad to have a mommy or daddy or say boy or girl or he or she. They are putting in the weird transgender bathrooms to confuse everyone and make that the center of life, debating that and confusing children. They're giving your children forced inoculations without parental consent. They're giving them abortions without parental consent in many areas. But you got to fill out a consent form to go to the planetarium or the zoo or to the lake or to the park or to the museum. So they are our conquerors. When you look at Melissa Harris Perry, it's not that she's strong. It's that we're weak. That we would let a sharp-eyed, aggressive mafia don, a maven of language death, of cultural death, a purveyor of dark age, a purveyor of destruction of freedom, a pusher of 21st century book burning, the very annihilation of the language itself, true Ingsoc, reducing it, reducing the IQs, reducing the minds, reducing the semantical lexicon. Until rebellion against the globalists would be as unthinkable as sheep rebelling against the practice of eating mutton. And with the dumbed-down kids out there today, you try to tell some 18-year-old that quote from Bertrand Russell, who they call a liberal, and they don't even know what mutton is, so let me translate it for them. They'll dumb you down so far where you can't even understand what I'm saying. And all you do is cynically laugh at it because you've been given a hypnotic programming suggestion to laugh at your own destruction and to laugh at your own stupidity. And so for you to stand up against your own enslavement would be as ridiculous as sheep fighting back against the rancher when he takes them in yearly to pick the ones that are going to be slaughtered. Because they're sheep. You can't communicate with them. They're not human. They don't understand complex issues, and they follow their little leader, who's the Judas sheep, the Judas goat, who's trained to lead them into the pen. Even though they hear the screaming, they smell the blood, they smell the urine, they smell the pheromones of sheep being hauled up by their hind legs and having their throats slit before they're butchered, they still will follow that leader, the biggest, the strongest that every year they trust. That leads them when the food gets put out, that leads them away when the wolf shows up. They follow that Judas goat, Melissa Harris Perry, Barack Hussein Obama, Michael Moore to the end, because it feels good. They like being chumps. They like being failures. They like their unemployment doubling in 6 years. They like being fed fluoride and cancer viruses. They like GMO. They like dying. Every few days I hear some parent. I was at the gym yesterday and I heard somebody talking, going, "Oh, it's terrible. Oh my gosh." And then the lady's friend said, "What happened? Oh, such and such's baby just died. It was just a year old and it died." Yeah, she's written a letter to everybody about it. It died of SIDS. And I couldn't help it. I said, "Oh, you know, they're not supposed to really die of that after a few months." And I said, "That didn't exist till the 80s. They used to take people's kids. They used to take people's other children when they had a sudden infant death. They'd claim it was shaken baby. Remember that?" They go, "Yeah, you don't hear about that anymore." First, I get them to admit to something that they know. I go, "Yeah, you ought to ask them if they went in for their second round of shots then. Because, you know, SIDS is closely associated in Australian government studies and others with the sudden death." And one woman goes, "Yeah, I think I've heard about that." I said, "Yeah, I don't mean to get in your business. You're just talking about a dead baby. You might want to look into it for yourself and warn some people." And all the time I hear people talking about, "Yeah, I talked to Bob and there he hadn't been to work in about a week. Yeah, their baby's in the hospital." And I'll say, "How old's that baby? Is it a toddler?" "Yeah. 18 months? "Well, yeah, they did say that." "Well, how do you know that?" And I said, "How do I know that?" I said, "You better look into it. Most autistic children are boys, about 80%, roughly, 81%, depending on the country. And they almost always go into the autistic decline at 18 months. After they don't talk for a few days and lay in bed, the hospital, if you take them right back, they'll say, "Oh, that's just a normal side effect. Just keep them in bed. They're going to be fine." Well, that brain swells up and it bleeds in there. Getting that lobotomy feels real good. And we've had the nurses on. It's come out in the news as well that they get those ERs ready with those preemies 7 months, 8 months, 6 months. They're fine. They're breathing. They're getting better. And after they're there a couple days, 2 days, the doctor comes in and says, it's time to give them the inoculations, full regimen, 7 shots. And the nurses beg. They say, doctor, go back to the bioethics board. They're going to stop breathing. Some are going to die. And the doctor says, you know policy. And they give them their shots. And some die on the spot. Others go on the respirators. But a lot of them can't make it because we're a loving country. We're a good country. And Melissa Harris Perry, let's have her take us out to break, teaching us about the slaves when we're all slaves. Here she is.
I feel you, but I just want to pause on one thing, because I don't disagree with you that I actually think Mr. Ryan is a great choice for this role. But I want us to be super careful when we use the language hard worker.
All right, pause. We're going to come back by the whole thing unedited. But just everything is a globalist attack pattern. You got to be super careful about what language you use. Just self-censor. Everything's evil. Just shut up and don't talk. Only say what she says. And then she talks about the role he's playing. He's an operative playing a role to keep the Republicans suppressed for their takeover, but he's also got to play the role of the evil white male. So we've got to inject, when we hear about a white person, slavery to keep blacks on the plantation. Here we go.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM. We'll be joining us in the second hour and taking your phone calls, covering world events. Max Kaiser on the huge financial developments. Hadn't been on with us in months, about 3 or 4 months. He'll be joining us and taking your phone calls as well. Then David Knight hosts the fourth hour of Overdrive today. The first 3 hours, you're stuck with me, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. And I'm going to try to get to this in the final segment of this hour. It's got to be... well, it's 60 pages long. Margins to the Mainstream by Mark Potok. That's the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center under the founder. And Don Terry. And it is the script with which you will hear all other media that is establishment and the police that have been federalized will use against us. And it is incredible. It says no one's coming for your guns. There is no Agenda 21. Just none of it's true. But it's got some great graphics they put together for it that we're going to use as part of satire and add our own text to in the next week and cover. But there's no world government. The Federal Reserve's not private. It's not giving trillions to insiders. But what's crazy is all of this has now come out. We've been vindicated. The reason we've gone from the margins to the mainstream is because everyone's seen the Common Core handouts in a whole bunch of different states that say 2 plus 2 equals 5. Fuzzy math. Everybody's heard Obama say you didn't build your business. Everybody's heard him say they want to ban all our guns. Then they go in to say that I said that martial law would happen during Jade Helm. And then I was discredited. But they don't have any quotes of me saying it or video. We talked about how they're continuing to try to train our military to take on the American people, and that's admitted. Then they say the NAU is Mexico and Canada conquering the U.S. and destroying it. We don't say that. We say all of our countries are being conquered by offshore globalists via secret treaties. And see, that's even in Rolling Stone and Town Hall and the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times. The truth is we're the tip of the spear. And not Infowars.com or DrudgeReport.com or WorldNetDaily.com. I'm not saying we're the end-all, be-all, but we're at the tip of the spear with you, the people. They then go on to say there's not a move for Sharia law in Europe or this country. They then say there's not a move to bring in radical Islamists for Balkanization. When all look at the news in Europe, millions, total bedlam, record rapes. I mean, you know, in many areas of the Middle East, it is the culture that if a woman doesn't have a hood on her head, you're allowed to rape her. In Saudi Arabia, you can rape a woman, a man's wife, and if he doesn't file a complaint, the woman goes to jail. But the feminists don't say a word. They come out and criticize us and call us Islamophobic. These people are sick. They hate the West, and they are despicable. Look into OKC and Elohim City and the lawsuits and what came out in court with Jesse Trinidad investigating his dead brother and Carol Howell, the FBI informant at Elohim City. You want to know how deep the rabbit hole goes. Southern Poverty Law Center is more than meets the eye. They're not a bunch of trendy liberals out there trying to stop racism. They're a hardcore brigade meant to bring down the free speech of this country and our Second Amendment, and meant to identify millions of veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and Christians to lock us up during a civil war. They mean business, and they need to be watched very closely. So that's coming up. Leanne McAdoo will be popping in during the fourth hour with David Knight. She's followed a bunch of very important reports that are up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And she joins us from outside St. Louis, where they have the Manhattan Project waste to a great extent dumped. And there is a giant multi-year fire burning into the landfill, and now toxic sludge has been spilling out. We, of course, have Geiger counters. Did we send those? We're about to find out. But the point is, they admit it's radioactive waste out there, and she's trying to find out exactly what's going on. She volunteered to go there. We didn't send her. There's the headline: as underground fire smolders near radioactive waste, EPA dismisses concerns, just like they did Fukushima, just like Japan did. So we see this over and over again. Leanne McAdoo, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a report on what you've seen so far.
Well, that's right, Alex. I'm here in Florissant, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis. We met with some families here this morning that were talking about that very thing you were just mentioning. They're trying to fight to prove.
And we have a Skype issue. Sorry, Leanne, go ahead and start back over.
Going over the generation.
All right, we're going to reconnect with her and continue on from this point. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, this just goes to the culture that we have, where anything that's a serious danger to society is ignored. And anything that is petty and mindless and a distraction is put on a pedestal. Nationwide, don't you dare have any Halloween parties or costume parties, because being a cowboy, being a Native American, being a geisha girl from Japan is racist and is evil and is horrible. But if you want to radiate Japan and then cover up what's happened and then cover up the radiation coming across the United States and raining down on people, well, then everything's A-okay. While we're figuring out what's going on with Leanne and some other issues, I want to air a compendium of special reports that they did for the nightly news, her and her good friend, Ms. Robin, because it was their idea to try to check out the claims that we were making and what listeners were saying about the survival shield combined, of course, with the liver shield, and what that would do if they did the six-day cleanse on top of juicing as well. And the six-day cleanse is up on InfoWarsLife.com, and you take the oxy powder, 4 to 6 tablets a day, just high-level oxygen that releases in your intestines, upper and lower intestine. You take the liver shield, it's a proprietary product, in water 4 times a day with apple cider vinegar. And then on the sixth day, you drink 7 ounces of virgin olive oil when you go to bed at night and lay on the side that your liver's on, your right side, for at least an hour. And then most people in the morning have spectacular results when green and black stones come out. I say most people, almost like 98% we talk to have results within 2 days. Most of them the next morning. Me, it was a day and a half later at night. It wasn't the next day. It was the next night's day, so about day and a half, 2 days later. And they went out. They did it. And this is the result. Since we have Leon on, I've been meaning to air this for days, because right now we have 25% off the Liver Cleanse Pack. That is a big discount on the already discounted products. That's Oxy Powder with the Liver Shield. Then you just buy the apple cider vinegar at the store and the virgin olive oil, and you are good to go. If you want to supercharge it even more, which most people don't need to do, you get the Epsom salts. Take a few caplets of that that night as well, along with the olive oil. And then it really gets crazy. So that is all coming up in this report. Then we'll come back with Leanne McAdoo. Here it is.
Hi, everybody. Well, myself and Emmy Robin are here. We're getting ready to do the Liver Shield Cleanse. Very excited. As you can see here, the night before the first day is all about prepping. Yes. So that is what we have going on here. And I felt pretty good rolling out of the grocery store looking like a health nut. Well, we're checking in for day two of the InfoWars Life Liver Shield Cleanse. I gotta say, crankier today than yesterday. Emmy to the rescue. Once again, she's brought me some delicious food to try to tame the beast.
She's being a real Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, but we're still hanging in there. Hope you guys are too. Be sure to check out the product, InfoWarsLife.com. It's the Liver Shield Cleanse along with the Oxy Powder. And you don't have to go all the way and take the Liver Cleanse Challenge, but I highly recommend it. And that's me, Evil Queen, on day two. You can do it. I can do it. You can do it. Hi, guys. Here we are checking in day three of the InfoWars Life Liver Shield Cleanse. I got to say, today I thought I was expecting it to be really intense and cranky and bad, but I feel pretty good.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm glad. I got a little dizzy today, I'm not going to lie. And then the cravings have come on, like I said, on day three. It's always towards the end of the day, of course, when I was driving over here.
Yes.
Hear a commercial for cake pops. I don't even eat cake, nor do I eat cake pops, but they sound delicious right now. So I might have to try one on Monday or Tuesday. But it's weird. Day three, for some reason, no matter how many times I cleanse, and I've cleansed a lot, day three, I always just get the strangest cravings. We're not using pharmaceutical drugs. We're not, you know, I've seen so many posts of people getting their gallbladders taken out, and people don't understand, like, it's not like your wisdom teeth. Like, your gallbladder is a huge horse organ along with your liver that cleanses your body, and you can't just take that out because it helps cleanse the body. So right. Why not try a cleanse and get rid of the stuff in the gallbladder?
As promised, we are checking in for day four of the InfoWars Life Liver Shield Cleanse. I gotta say, Emmy, you were right. Day four, I feel tremendous. Woke up this morning feeling really light, a lot of clarity, no hunger pains, and I actually felt like I was floating through the grocery store. Everyone was sort of looking at me like, oh, pardon me, oh, excuse me. And I wasn't in there cute or anything. Like, it just was like, I feel like I am glowing.
And you're not even that hungry, right?
No, not at all. I didn't even want to eat today because I felt so good.
Yeah.
So obviously this cleanse for me has really showed me that it is all about retraining our brain. Like I said, how can you resist tyranny if you can't resist the taco stand?
Now, if you want to see our before and after photos, I think they said they've got them ready.
No!
Like I said, mine are before and almost after because I'm not done with my flush. But you can see those if you go to infowars.com/show. Whoa, Emmy,
I promise you, I was not sticking out in that first picture. I just literally was relaxed. And even in the second picture, I was relaxed. But like, looking
you can
at
really,
it, it's crazy.
Look
I can
at
see
those
in my
cuts
back.
In your side.
No, I know. I can see the muscles in my stomach. It's nuts. And my legs, I feel like my legs look skinnier. I don't know. I started off at like for my height, I'm almost 5'9". So I started off at relatively healthy weight because I had done the liver cleanse in July, and then I went straight into working on a production for 3 months where I was working 18-hour days on my feet, doing like 8 miles a day. So, I mean, I wasn't super out of shape, but when I started that first liver cleanse, I was pretty out of shape. So that before and after.
You said you're actually at the lowest weight of your, well, pretty much. In a decade, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm almost back to where when I was a fitness model.
Do they have my before and almost afters? Or are we going to hold those off? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Holy moly, look at you. Yeah, I can see it in your arms for sure and your legs.
Well, where I really see it and where I really wanted it was in my sides. I guess you would call that the spare tire. And you can actually see where there's that little roll. Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. There's that little roll kind of on the like the back fat. And you can see it's gone
look
away.
Look at your chin. Look below your chin, though.
Oh my gosh.
You see, you lose a little bit in your face too. That's where I saw it big time the first time around.
There you go, everyone. Before and afters. And like I said, mine is not even an after yet. I should probably take more pictures later when all the sodium has left my body. I wanted to let everybody know this cleanse is on sale right now. The Liver Shield is on sale. The pack itself is on sale with the Advanced Liver Cleanse Pack with the Oxy Powder and the Liver Shield. The Oxy Powder itself is on sale. So go ahead to the InfoWars store and pick some up today. I'm telling you, this is powerful. I felt amazing this entire week. It was not as hard as I thought that it was going to be.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back live broadcasting worldwide, lining up some of the Skype issues with Leanne. She'll be filing reports there as well and joining us coming up in the fourth hour. So we can get those questions answered. Was there increased radiation levels on the Geiger counter? A. B. What are the locals saying? How much sludge has come out? I know her eyes were watering, burning. Other locals were saying it was painful. Quite frankly, I don't even like having our reporters near this type of thing, but she did live in St. Louis for years. And so she wanted to go back and actually check into it because she lived near there for many years to the middle of a populated area. With a fire burning underground for several years now, getting into the area that has the radioactive waste. Now, continuing with some of the other news that we have here, Europeans scramble for guns amid Islamic immigrant invasion, long guns sold out. And this is in the German newspapers. It's in the Czech newspapers. We have links in articles done by Mikhail Thalen, Kurt Nimmo, and Max Slavo, and others, where local news is reporting and showing columns, in some cases, of more than 10,000 people marching down country roads into towns and cities. And again, in some of the more backwards, primitive, radical Islamic areas, it's a fact that women are still sold in slavery, blacks are still sold in slavery, very racist against black people in northern Africa because the Arabs invaded and took it over. That's why in Libya, Al-Qaeda has been killing the blacks who have a right to be in Africa, obviously. I mean, can the blacks be anywhere? I mean, can the Europeans be anywhere? And now in some countries like Austria and a few others, you can get special permits to get shotguns. But the problem is gun ownership is so low, it's being reported that in Austria and other countries, they've sold out of guns already. 70,000 guns have been sold this year alone in Austria. I saw the numbers. That's more than 20 times what was sold previously. So the police are reporting most of them are women who are scared of being raped. That is coming up. Also, a new sickening video. Yesterday, they were talking about trying to keep the baby's heads intact to sell their brains. Now, Planned Parenthood of Texas, of Austin. They actually get taxpayer money in Travis County, only county in Texas, where they get Planned Parenthood gets your money in property tax as part of the hospital district. Laughing abortionist says, we pull out baby hearts after abortion just for fun. It's cute. Talking about how they still beat. I remember my dad cutting out like snake hearts and stuff when I was a kid and showing how they kept beating. Isn't it cute? was thinking about this broadcast this morning. And it's ugly. Sometimes it's powerful. Sometimes it's goofy. But I'll tell you this, it's real. What you get here on air is what you get behind the scenes. When I get up here and I'm angry about what's happening, it's not an act, okay? I am genuinely upset about the takeover of society. I am genuinely upset about the dumbing down of the public. I am genuinely concerned about the divide and conquer. And I know you are as well. And look, none of us are perfect. I know that all of us feel like in our hearts we should be able to fix this, but we can't. God's going to have to help us do that, but we've got to take action. And I think God will take us the rest of the way. But listening to Melissa Harris Perry say it's racist to say somebody's a hard worker. It's all about the control of reality, the control of words. And if you can say that Caitlyn Jenner gets the 2015 Courage Award above everybody else in sports, you can say whatever you want. It's about doing ridiculous things out in the open in our face. We're going to get Leanne McAdoo back on soon. I appreciate her courage going to cover this. I didn't really want to send her, but she wanted to go. Hotspot near nuclear waste has St. Louis residents on edge. That's CBS News. There is a growing fear in suburban St. Louis community over a potential threat buried in the ground. A local landfill contains nuclear waste, and just three football fields away, a hotspot has been burning underground in a second landfill. Did you hear that? Hotspot. And they've tried to go over there with the Geiger counter and have been run off by the EPA. And I'm sending the message to Leanne. She doesn't have, I don't want her at the hotspot. She doesn't need to go where the stuff's coming out of the ground. Just get it in the general area. And then there's metrics where if it's up just a little bit, hundreds of yards away, you can bet it's higher right where the hotspot is. And the point is, they dump toxic waste and radioactive waste all over the place there. And the hotspot is immediately, this is CBS News, been leaching into the rest of the landfill. But what makes me mad is that, again, 90-plus percent of the 400 commercial reactors in the world, 440-something, are leaking. They don't care. They don't retire them. They store the waste on top of the reactors. It's crazy. The University of Texas has a reactor in North Austin and an old one underneath the University of Texas from the 50s. And I tell the average yuppie there's a nuclear reactor underneath it, that, by the way, still running. You can't ever completely shut them down. And they look at me like I'm a man from Mars. And it's not like I'm even saying this is the end of the world having a nuclear reactor in downtown Austin. It's that the public doesn't even know it's there. So if there ever was a problem, they just tell them it didn't exist. I'm sick of it. And I'm just sick of how soft the public is. But we've had it good so long. That's why we've gotten this position, myself included. I'm a slob as well. None of us are perfect. I need to do more in the fight against tyranny. I'm going to get into the Southern Poverty Law Center situation. Then George Norrie joins us, and then Max Kaiser. Big broadcast lined up today. Infowars.com is the news site. I haven't even gotten to that yet. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, CNN saying we should restrict Caitlyn Jenner Halloween costumes because it's transphobic. And there's a big move to give racist or sexist Halloween costumes one-star ratings. And, of course, next is ban them. And what are they saying that is? Well, a geisha girl, a cowboy, a Mexican, anything. You know, one of the most popular things at frat houses, I was never in a fraternity, but I went to some of the parties, is Mexican food, tequila, wearing sombreros and getting drunk. kind of like you can have a barbarian party, do the same thing. There's no slight on Mexicans. But they even banned them at Hispanic clubs. And that's why they're now saying that basically anything and everything is sexist, boy and girl, man and woman. Any culture at all is bad. Having fun is bad. But being targeted by the globalists, having all of our rights taken, being spied on, having our right to self-defense being taken, having our national sovereignty being conquered by secret international treaties, that's all okay. And CNN gets up there and lectures us about how Halloween is racist. Let me tell you what Halloween really is, since it's coming up. It is an amalgamation of Druidic, beginning of winter, basically, rituals, fall and winter rituals, where humans were sacrificed along with cattle and other valuables. And the Catholics superimposed a saint's day over human sacrifice rituals going on the continent of Europe, but also in what is the United Kingdom today. And that's a fact. And I tell adults this, and they go, you're kidding. And I can show them the Encyclopedia Britannica. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they're like, you're kidding, that they really threw babies and men, women, and children into fires. Yes, they burned up the king's son sometimes if they wanted to in a burning man, in a wicker man. That was the way nobility was sacrificed, just like the Aztecs did it. And people go, the Aztecs killed people? I thought that was only in movies. I mean, the public is wickedly ignorant, beyond ignorant, dangerously moronic. And I'm not, again, on a power trip saying this. It's layers of baloney on top of layers of garbage, on top of layers of Bravo Sierra. Because Halloween, itself, in the modern sense, since the 1950s, was a corporately created, superimposed resurrection of the pagan roots to sell a bunch of products and create something as big as Christmas to make money off of. That was on the temporal money economic level. Above that, Samhain, Samhain, the night before All Saints Day, Day of the Dead, whatever you want to call it in European culture, is about bringing back the occult and masquerading it in front of everyone. Now, I'm not saying Day of the Dead, November 2nd, is a satanic holiday. That is about your ancestors and things like that, remembering the dead. I'm talking about the European version of it is a child sacrifice, satanic worship. I don't want to say devil worship or even satanic. Let's just say the horned god. You know, the Wiccans and people sit there and lecture folks and go, we're not into any devil worship. We're not into bloodletting. How dare you backwards Christians? Hey, you may not be, but where your religion comes from was all about human sacrifice. And stop denying it. Stop it.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
On over 600 AM and FM stations across the United States. Of course, he's on XM Sirius and is arguably the number one or number two most listened to broadcast, not just in the United States, but across the world. And I can attest to that. We are so blessed to have someone who's open-minded to exposing the globalist and who promotes the Bill of Rights and Constitution that reaches so many people. He also covers a lot of fun stuff and unsolved mysteries and things on the broadcast as well. But I personally have experienced the coasttocoastam.com effect when I'm out in the public. When I was down in Alpine and Big Bend last weekend, spending some time hiking around the desert, I ran into a lot of listeners, and so many of them said, I learned about you with George Norrie. And when he comes on every 3-4 months, I always mention that because we've got to be very thankful for the fact that George, 13, 14 years ago, when Coast to Coast AM and its other great host, legendary hosts like Art Bell, were not really getting into the New World Order, world government, global government, RFID, smart meters, vaccines, cashless societies, George Norrie was. And boy, when he first had me on, it was on ABC News, CNN, C-SPAN within a day that how dare him have Alex Jones on. And this was a frightening interview, and this was crazy. Because back then, no one would report that I'd snuck into Bohemian Grove. They even broke in, someone broke in and stole the tapes out of the British Television Network's hotel. I then mailed it not once, not twice, but 3 times to their L.A. studios at World of Wonder, and those tapes were erased. Erased. We finally mailed it to one of their homes, and they got them. Now imagine, they were saying this did not exist. How far we've come. Just yesterday, it was in Bloomberg and a bunch of other publications that indeed Citibank is going to make you retina scan to cash checks, get money, buy and sell, basically. And once they do that, you think Bank of America wanting to charge you $5 every time you use your ATM is bad, or you use your debit card or credit card. It's going to get a lot worse. It'll track everything we do. It'll shut down underground economies. It is a nightmare scenario, and now it's here. And on hundreds of fronts, I want to open the phones up at the bottom of the hour. How many things did you hear on InfoWars or on Coast to Coast AM that were just outlandish and crazy 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago that are now admitted? They admit in Army manuals now the FEMA camps. They now admit global government. They now admit forced inoculation. They now admit so much of this is out in the open. And we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, margins to the mainstream. They demonize myself and others. And they say, we're crazy. We think they're coming after our guns. Well, they admit they are. We think there's a UN agenda to restrict energy. The UN has a target of cutting world energy consumption by half in the next 10 years. So they're really playing to folks' ignorance, but it doesn't work. That's why it's margins to the mainstream. I want to ask George Norrie this question. I've asked him before, but I ask it again. Not for lack of news. We're in a sea of incredible news. And these aren't scripted interviews. I mean, I'm just coming at George with my questions because I respect what he has to say. What are we going to do as what we've covered becomes mainstream news? They admit this stuff's going on, but then still demonize us. It isn't working, though, because as they admit, margins to the mainstream, the system's being discredited, and those of us that were out in the wilderness are now being brought in by the people and being respected. That's quite a responsibility, but I don't know what the establishment's going to do. I mean, 4 years ago, George, you had myself on, others, you covered how our governments were arming Al-Qaeda and then ISIS, and what really happened at Benghazi. You had that within weeks of it happening. So did I. Almost no one else did. We're not bragging. It's just a fact that our perspective on the world is so much more accurate than what you call mainstream, because they're there. I mean, ESPN wouldn't even report on Deflategate. That's one reason they're losing viewers. I mean, when it gets to a point where things are so sanitized, so controlled, what is the dinosaur media going to do? George Norrie. You know, Skype is such a wonderful thing, but I'm almost convinced we've got an internal Skype problem because we couldn't have Leon on earlier, and now we can't have George on. So I want to go to telephones until we've revamped, had some experts in. We've got the professional Skype system. We've had consultants in, but I want to venture that something's rotten in the state of Denmark. We do have George Norrie. We'll try one more time and then go to phone. George, hey. That was my big, long intro. Thank you for coming on with us.
And I did hear your intro, then all of a sudden you were taken away from me, Alex. Very strange. Somebody's watching your feed, my friend.
No, it's probably just the internet. But seriously, George, I mean, the big question, what is the establishment going to do now that everything they say is basically taken as pure bull?
Well, let me tell you what's been going on. Since we've been doing this for 13 years and you've been doing this even longer, things have fallen right into our lap. Social networking has exploded. The internet has exploded. As you said, I'm on 600 plus radio stations around North America. All those things have come into each other and they continue to grow. And so what I think they are facing is the knowledge that they simply can't stop this anymore. Well, they probably could have stopped it a long time ago. They can't stop it anymore. It's gotten too big. And now they just have to ride it out with us. And they are petrified that we are bringing the truth out to the public. And people are beginning to realize we're not going to take it anymore. We are fed up with getting a spoon-fed story from either a mainstream media or from government. And they're going to investigate themselves now. And now with the alternative media and programs like Coast to Coast and what you do, Alex, on InfoWars and Prison Planet, people get their information immediate, fast, and very, very accurate. And that's what's beginning to happen. And those power brokers can't stop it anymore. And now they're trying to figure out, how do we work within that system? And that's what they're trying to figure out.
What are you focused on right now?
Well, right now we're, besides doing Ghost to Ghost this Friday on Halloween and having some fun, we are looking at just about everything that's been going on. As you just mentioned, Citibank is going to experiment with retina and eyes for ATMs. I think Diebold, the great black box voting company, is going to make the ATM machines and market those. That's an amazing. So we're looking at that story. We're handling a lot of things that are going on internationally. We are concerned about what's going on between the United States and China, you know, with the ships getting closer to what they call territorial waters. There's something going on here, and the economy still is not as robust as people think or say, because we still see a lot of people unemployed. Retail sales are still marginal, and you know there's a lot of concern about what's going on. Our REI stores just yesterday announced they're not going to open up on Black Friday. They've told their employees, hey, take Thursday off, take Thanksgiving off, take Friday off. We're not going to do it. So lots of things are going on. We're looking at everything. As you know, Coast to Coast was primarily the paranormal show, the UFO show, and you can't just do that anymore. There are way too many things going on that cut to the chase of what we're going through as people that we have to handle. As you mentioned, the vaccines, the political system. There's the big debate today in Boulder, Colorado. We can talk about that and some of our thoughts on the presidential election. But we are looking at everything that's going on this planet right now because you have to. For us as talk show hosts, we would be irresponsible if we just dabbled with the fluff and didn't get into the meat of what's
going on. And boy, there's plenty of meat. And I'm glad you raised the China situation because that is so big. I haven't even been covering that enough because it's just so over the top. It's hard to analyze. China, as you know, fired a sea launch missile from a submarine a few years ago off the coast. The media tried to spin it and say it wasn't a missile. There's the headline, mystery missile launch off coast of California caught on tape near Los Angeles. It later leaked from the Pentagon that it was the communist Chinese and a threat. They've been coming into the California and the Alaskan territorial waters, and then those are our waters. China, and I've talked to a lot of experts, they don't have a claim to the Spratly area. They are building artificial islands. They are claiming they control that South China Sea area. This is a power grab, and our government does a lot of power grabs, too, but you know when they're in the wrong, in my view. You were a naval officer, you know, not just a TV award-winning, Emmy award-winning reporter, but from your expertise, What do you think's going on with this China situation? I mean, they're now, as you know, threatening military action. This is escalating.
Well, China, as you know, they are our biggest debt holders. I mean, they have well over $4 trillion in debt that they own. I'm not sure that if you lent money to somebody, Alex, that you'd want anything to happen to them because they become a debt holder. And you know eventually, hey, you'll get paid and everything will be fine. In this situation with China, if China goes to war with us or we go to war with them, that's going to be an economic disaster for them. So they're tippy-toeing around the situation. There's no question China is flexing its muscles. It wants these islands that the Philippines claim might be theirs. It wants islands that the Japanese say belong to them. I think China has its eyes on Taiwan. Are we going to go to war over Taiwan, even though we've promised the Taiwanese will step in and bail you out if something happens? Lots of things are going on, but I think you're right. I think China is flexing its muscles, and they're pushing, and they're trying to push and see how far can we push before the United States tries to push back. Well, we're playing these little games, as we do with the Russians, close flybys and things like that. What concerns me is that mistakes happen. We've seen it before. It's happened then. It'll happen in the future. Military makes mistakes. Planes do something wrong. They go off course. Anything could happen to trigger what could very well be a third world war. If you look at what's happening around the world right now and the tensions everywhere, from Syria to Israel to where the Palestinians are, there's too much going on right now. And what a better way to put it all together than a third world war, and something's going on. I feel it. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think we need to be ready for this.
Well, undoubtedly, you were on with us 2 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, and said everybody you talk to feels this ominous tick-tock towards something bigger. It's now reached a crescendo. We've got proxy wars with Russia, proxy wars in Syria, the West caught backing the bad guys in the Middle East, communist China moving into Africa, controlling 96% of rare earth minerals. I'm not really worried about Russia. They're not expanding, in my view. It's China I'm worried about. I'm not romanticizing our government either. But when you talk about censorship, the communist Chinese government is heavily involved in what Hollywood puts out now. They won't accept movies to their market unless it's been pre-approved, like The Martian, where the Chinese basically save our space program and not the Russians. It's just crazy to see Chinese communist propaganda involved in American politics.
I bet the Chinese loved the Martian movie in that segment when the Chinese did come and bail us out and saved Matt Damon. You know, common sense tells you that another world war would be catastrophic for the entire planet. There are too many countries that have nukes right now, and they have that capability of using them, from North Korea to Pakistan to India to Israel to China to us to Russia. Too many nations have the capability of destroying this planet, and it just takes one lunatic to do this. I forgot North Korea. You talk about lunatics. That guy's capable of doing anything. So we are surrounded
by lunatics,
by this craziness. It's just crazy. You know, as Howard Beale said in the movie Network that you so eloquently quoted in Toronto when we were there, you know, people are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore because the world has gone crazy. And I'm in St. Louis right now. I'm down in my bunker studio and I can sense it from people out there. They're just fed up, Alex. They want to be left alone. They want to be in their homes, have their car, go to and get their little jobs and come home and just be left alone. And I think that's happening to Americans all over the country these days.
You know, I didn't think of that. Your Skype's working. Leanne's McAdoo is there in St. Louis right now. Her Skype's breaking up, but she's out there at the landfill where they've got all that nuclear waste.
That's right.
And of course, for those that don't know, there's a huge cave complex there in St. Louis. You've got offices there, broadcast from there part of the year when you're not out in L.A. But George Norrie, just to add to the apocalyptic atmosphere in the world with the economy and the derivatives and the open borders and the collapsing countries. For much of the world, we're already in a depression. We see softening job numbers, manufacturing numbers. Yellen says at the Fed they'll continue QE because of that. What is it like, though, to be close to underground fires approaching the giant nuke waste dump?
And they are very, very close to where I am. The airport, which is near Bridgeton, is where this landfill dump is. And by that dump, which is underground, the fire's burning underground, believe it or not, has been doing it for years, is this nuclear waste dump. And the fire is getting closer and closer and closer. Well, we did a national story on that a couple weeks ago. And the St. Louis media has been doing it as well. But it's starting now to get national recognition. And the EPA is finally involved in this, trying to figure out how are they going to handle this. Back during the 1940s, when we were creating the atomic bomb, St. Louis was a very influential city with scientists and people like that working on the Manhattan Project. And they used a lot of land here for dump. And it's couldn't get into the water supply. It could be a disaster. Now, we've seen what happened in Fukushima, where the experts are now beginning to say that there's a higher incidence of cancer among children. I think that same thing could happen here. That landfill dump from where I am sitting right now, Alex, is about 15 miles away. That's 15 minutes in a car. That's not far at all. But I really feel sorry for the people who live in that community and in that area, because that's pretty heavily populated. And I mean, it is absolutely a biblical proportion nightmare if that fire gets to that waste dump, which is bad all by itself. But if the fire gets to that nuclear waste dump, God knows what could happen.
Well, that's my issue with nuclear power. Is that if they contained it right, if they developed it right, I wouldn't be against it. But they don't retire reactors after 30 years. They're falling apart. They're having more and more leaks. So the answer of the Japanese, U.S. government, EU governments, as you know, is to just say we're turning the alarms off. Or, okay, higher radiation levels are now safe. We're raising the allowable levels. And just saying, oh, don't be conspiracy theorists. Then that makes me worry about other technologies that make atomic technology, you know, 80 years old, look tame. Mm-hmm. Look at the Hadron Collider. Look at what a lot of scientists say could create a black hole, a strangelet, a chain reaction explosion. And the other scientists say, well, it might, but it's a low probability. We're still going to do it. I'm not against progress, but you've talked a lot about this on your radio show. I call it that Atlantean moment, whether Atlantis was real or not. And I tend to think it was real. Plato was a real historian. He said it was. They were advanced. They did something. It blew up their entire huge island that was a small continent and rained pieces of it down across the world, according to the ancients. Well, regardless of whether it was real or not, aren't we now pretty much the new Atlantis and are approaching that Atlantean moment?
Well, there's no question about it. The nuclear power plants, many of them have been built on earthquake fault lines. It's crazy. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And as you know, if the power goes out and those generators eventually have a certain time life to it, you need to cool those rods, those radioactive rods. And if you can't do it because the power's gone out, as happened in Fukushima, you are headed for a nightmare, and those possibilities are all out there. So why we continue to build these plants when you can harness energy from the sun in a very cheap, creative way is beyond me. I mean, what I would do is I would build huge solar panels, put them up in space, and beam down signals to generators and to almost like capacitors that will store energy here in the United States. I mean, the sun is going to be around for a long, long time. Let's take advantage of it.
Well, as you know, a lot of top engineers and scientists say that plan is one of the better plans. Now, George, you don't like talking about yourself, but one reason I called you to book you on the show, and I appreciate you coming on, is I saw articles a few weeks ago, several of them, Business Insider, WorldNet Daily, a couple others, that George Norrie is thinking about running for president. So when we come back from break, I want to ask you about that, then I want to shift gears into one of your big passions, and it's one of mine as well. really, because I've been listening to you on it, is EMP, whether it be a Carrington event from the sun or whether it be artificial, the latest on your movement with others that I know has got a lot of filmmakers, a lot of people in Congress involved. I'm in a film coming out pretty soon that's been produced with the Norrises and others that gets into this. I can't wait till I can show folks the trailer. It's pretty powerful. But there are movements to try to protect this planet, asteroids. How do you see this civilization becoming a Type 1 civilization? George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast AM, coasttocoastam.com is our guest. He also hosts a popular TV show. You can find out more on his site as well.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we steam towards Halloween. They are now saying that it is transphobic if you have a Caitlyn Jenner costume. So they force feed a cultural icon, try to make us obsess on something that maybe 1% of the population is involved in this cultural hijacking, try to make our kids learn all about it. And I'm not attacking anybody, but this is force feeding, where even South Park is sick of it. She's given all these awards, courage awards, and then you want to be that person at Halloween, and they say, no, you can't, and you can't be a cowboy or a geisha girl. You can't wear a sombrero. You can't be a Native American. Because, I mean, they've canceled in Austin yoga studios having Eastern-themed parties on Halloween where people dress up in Eastern clothes. That's like saying you can't have a party with togas, it's anti-Greeks. No, it's not. It's a cultural party. But it's like Melissa Harris Perry said on MSNBC 2 days ago. She said, you can't say Paul Ryan's a hard worker. That takes away from black slaves. What? It is an attack on speech itself. George, I want to get into your discussion of running for president. I want to get into how you launched this new dating site, paranormal dating site. I want to get into some fun stuff as well, obviously, and then open the phones up. The toll-free number to join us, your questions or comments for the great George Norrie, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. But first off, I know you're nonpartisan, but you do promote the First Amendment. What do you think's going on with political correctness where they're saying don't say mother or father, don't say he or she, because just being a he or she might hurt somebody else? This isn't tolerance. This is saying that we must adopt whatever new bizarreness we're told to, banning brown paper bags in Seattle. How far is this going to go? We see the calls for restricting the Drudge Report. We see calls in Congress for restricting free speech on talk radio. Is this the establishment's response to the fact that they can't compete with us in the arena and the free market of ideas?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you can't even say God in school anymore without some teachers going ballistic, doing all kinds of things with Matt Drudge. You know, Matt was a pioneer. He was the one that broke some huge stories a long time ago and used the internet in a very effective way to do that. You can't muffle him. I mean, what are they afraid of with things like that? But I mean, we have become so concerned about stepping on special interest groups, and we have forgotten morality and what this country was all about. And I think it's just crazy, Alex. We've got to get back to our grassroots again as a nation and do things that are just common sense right. I mean, which we're not doing anymore. The presidential push to try to get me to run for office, you are absolutely right. I am nonpartisan. I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm probably more a libertarian, but I'm generally independent. However, if you're going to run for president in the United States, you really have to be a Democrat or a Republican on those parties. Look, they're about the same, right? But you have to do that because that's what garners the biggest votes. There has been a group that has asked me and wanted me to push for this to run on my platform for several reasons. One is got a lot of common sense. I have been a talk show host and a media person since I was 19 years old. And what I have seen worldwide, wherever I've gone, is that nobody is doing things with a common sense for people. And my campaign had, I jumped into the noose, would have been to develop programs based on what would help Americans. And that would be to do away with the Internal Revenue Service, to go to more of a fair tax based on a sales tax, helping people who don't make a lot of money so that they would get cash vouchers. But to do away with that, you wouldn't even have to file an income tax anymore. Our defense, as you said, I've been in the Navy 9 years as a naval officer. We cannot continue to occupy all these other countries. There are some countries that simply do not work like we do. You cannot make them a democracy. We saw what happened in Libya, in Iraq, where Saddam Hussein, though he wasn't a Boy Scout, and make no mistake about that, at least kept the lid on that country. Look what's happened to it now. It's fallen apart. Afghanistan, it's fallen apart. Syria, we're getting involved in that. It's falling apart. Every place we go, these countries have fallen apart. We learned nothing from Vietnam. So what I would propose as a commander-in-chief is that we no longer become the aggressors, but the defenders of people's rights around the world. We would have the greatest military ever. I would continue to spend on new technology and building up our armed forces. But we're not going to occupy countries anymore. You know, we're going to help the world. I mean, if the Boko Haram group in Africa is maiming children and stuff, we're going to go in there and stop that. That's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be occupying countries and taking over. Economically, we got to get jobs back in the United States. We got to get manufacturing back here. We have to create an incentive for corporations to want to stay here. And we're not doing any of that. Healthcare, throw this thing out the window. Yes, if you need a new kidney, Alex, you shouldn't be denied because you can't afford it. But for crying out loud, let's not force feed insurance policies down people's throats and everything else. I mean, so everything needs to be revamped. And so I did. I did consider that. It's getting late. The clock is ticking. I would have to take a leave from coast to coast, and I'm not sure I want to do that. But I probably could get the nomination, the Democratic nomination, and then I'd either have to run off against Mr. Carson or Mr. Trump or maybe even Jeb Bush.
Well, George, you've got the listeners, tens of millions of them, that would actually come out and support you. You're a smart guy. You destroy them in the debates. I mean, I tell you, you would actually have a shot. But regardless, you'd be able to inject a lot of information into the debates. I would just be afraid they'd try to shut you out and keep you out, and so then it wouldn't be effective. But if you could get in the debates, if you could get out there on the road, if you got the coverage, you'd be a real contender, and then it would be worth it just to be able to reach a new audience. But I tell you, you've got tens of millions of people tuning in right now, and so many times you've helped inform the public on the model states, Health Emergency Powers Act, forced inoculations. You've helped expose the whole Panopticon spy grid. I mean, the Second Amendment issues you've defended, the GMO crops you've exposed with the guest. I mean, you've been a game changer, that key word, that key compound word, over and over again. And
we would be a very busy administration, Alex. And another thing that I would do is build my cabinet with the best people. I could care less what political party they came from. You know, I'm not going to pick all Democrats. I would pick people who are the best at what they do. That's good management. Management puts in people who are good, not bad. And what we're happening now is you're doing all these political favors and we're putting in people. If the Republican wins, they're all Republicans who get into a cabinet. I would pick the best people from all walks of life to get involved in building a country that we were once proud of.
Well, that's what George Washington did. He wanted political parties outlawed.
Well, that's pretty pretty dramatic, but you know, he probably was right. Yeah, I would insulate the power grid immediately. I would get a budget of $2 billion to protect our power grid from what you had just mentioned, an EMP attack, which is an electromagnetic pulse attack, somebody detonating a nuke in the atmosphere, which blankets the country and shuts us down, or an X-flare from the sun, which happened in the 1800s, shut down the telegraph system. It could happen again today. If we get hit directly with a big flare from the sun, and mark my word, one day that will happen, we have got to get our power system insulated or we are up a creek. This country and this planet cannot survive without power and electricity. You're off the air. I'm off the air. Your ATMs don't work. You can't pump gasoline. They are predicting, William Forstchen in his books, One Second After, they're predicting that 90% of the Americans would die within 1 year. Within 1 year, if the power grid goes down. And I think those numbers are pretty accurate.
Well, I'm not particularly worried about a foreign enemy using an EMP. I mean, I know it could be done. It could knock out limited areas, cause a lot of carnage over thousands of square miles.
And for years.
But if you look at a Carrington event, as you know, that's happened before with the sun. And we know it happens routinely. I mean, that is a probability, not a if, but when it's going to blow out large sections of our power grid. And it could be continent-wide, even worldwide. For folks that don't know what a Carrington event is, George, you're an expert on it with all the guests you've interviewed. Tell them how serious this is.
A Carrington event is very serious. And again, back in the 1800s, we had a major league X-flare from the sun, which fried the only electrical system we had at the time, and that was our telegraph system. It cooked it. It was so big that the metal in the railroad lines all started melting. It was unbelievable. If one that size hit us today, we're done. It's all over. We've got to insulate it. They're estimating about $2 billion would protect the grid from these two kinds of events, EMPs or X-flares. Come on. For what they spent on bailouts, this is chump change. Let's fix the power grid and keep this country going during times of crises. Sounds like I'm running, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you, it just makes me basically be speechless to think about this. I want to go to some phone calls. George Norrie is our guest. Separately, what do you think about Donald Trump in your gut? And where do you think he's going to be in this whole Republican nomination? Do you think he's going to get it? Do you think Carson's really beating him in some national polls?
I think what we might have is, and I'm saying this based on instinct and, you know, political knowledge. I think the Trump influence is going to wane. I think it's happening now. He hit a plateau, and I think it's coming down now. I think the reality of who is Donald Trump and what does this all mean is starting to sit in. The only alternative, it appears right now, is Ben Carson. I think that's going to wane too. As some of my guests have predicted all along, Jeb Bush comes in through the back door and will probably get that Republican nomination. And as ludicrous as it might sound, 3 years, I mean, another Bush three times, and he's so far behind in the polls. But I think he's got that possibility. And as for the Democratic side, even though Bernie Sanders is showing some strength, I think Hillary, my prediction, will get that nomination. And so you may end up still with a Hillary-Jeb Bush runoff.
Ugh.
And there you go. I mean, ugh is right.
And it shows how out of touch the establishment is. They try to force feed these two groups that vacation together, that call each other family, that have foundations together. I mean, we're not North Korea where we have hereditary leaders. We're not England.
No, not at all. Why don't you do a poll for me on InfoWars? Throw my name in against Hillary and Bernie Sanders, and let's see where the numbers show.
That's a great idea. Let's put an InfoWars poll up. Ask Kurt and Emma to do that. I know Kurt runs the poll. But right now, as soon as we can, Who would you vote for of these choices? And let's say George Norrie, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. Who would you vote for on the Democratic ticket if that was your only choice? Who would you vote for on the Democratic ticket? Just leave it like that. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, George Norrie. And I would imagine with our audience, about 95% will be saying George Norrie. But we'll
maybe
see.
So. I can't do it on Coast to Coast because it's too skewered for me. But yours may be a little different, but you might be right.
That's a great idea. And then we'll publish the results.
That's right. Give it to Matt Drudge. If he puts it up as a headline that I'm beating them in your InfoWars poll, well, then maybe I may take a
stab. Now, that's an idea. Drudge, I guarantee if you enter the race, he would put up a poll and say, who do you support, George Norrie or these other people? You know, I could also, I've done this before. I've gone to Zogby. I've gone to New York Times poll, Mason Dixon. We paid for 7 or 8 polls for them to be conducted as newsmakers and to actually get those answers. I could go out and do a poll of those three, too, scientific, to see what folks would say. And I have a sneaking suspicion that you'd even win in one of those, just hitting the general public. Let's go to some phone calls here. Let's talk to Frank in North Carolina. You're on the air with George Norrie.
Yeah, I call, gentlemen. You know, my understanding is that the CIA actually created or at least popularized the term conspiracy theorist as a way basically to, you know, discredit anybody that questioned the official establishment view or story accounting of things. And, you know, you look into, you know, they say, well, these people, they're attacked, basically. The people in our government, the president, Obama, Bush, whoever it's going to be, you know, they're attacked and criticized for incompetence and having bad ideas, lack of experience, you know, all these things, when in actuality, they're really probably more successful than we think in carrying out the chess moves of their masters.
Sure, I mean, no, absolutely. Fine. They always act like it's ineptitude. And at the top, it's not ineptitude. It is a program being implemented. Now, they do some inept things. Nobody's perfect. But I tend to agree with you. But, yes, it was declassified decades ago. The term conspiracy theorist was deployed in the 60s against people that questioned government. George, your comments on that?
Yeah, Frank is absolutely correct, Alex. I mean, it was organizations like the CIA that established the conspiracy theorist topic and title to discredit everybody, to make everybody sound like they were strange and wackos. And as you know, when I heard that phrase back 13 years ago as I was getting into Coast to Coast, I too felt that way. To me, it sounded like, other than the Kennedy assassination story, I thought, you know, you talk about these conspiracies and things that are going on. These people are a little strange. Well, it took a while, several years doing the program where I realized that, no, it's the people who believe in the conspiracy theories who are the smart ones, who are the accurate ones. And I think this has backfired on the CIA. There's no doubt about that.
I think it has. And certainly they try to give attention to the most whacked out schizophrenics online and really some sad people, you know, who think the world is flat and that the Easter bunnies are real. But they're not indicative of us, for, you know, myself for 20 years talking about the NSA. And then Snowden comes out and says it and is a hero. But then the establishment still says that I'm a kook because I was 18 years ahead of Snowden. We'll be back with George Norrie and more calls. Segment with George Norrie. We got Max Kaiser coming up, but I'll continue with your calls until Max Kaiser gets on with us. Adam in Canada wants to talk to George. I'm your host, Alex Jones, obviously. Adam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on again. I just wanted to say, George, I think it's a great idea for you to run for the Democratic ticket, and what you could do is strike a deal with Trump. If you win, he could be your VP. If he wins, you could be his.
You know, I was actually thinking if I got elected, if I ran, of picking, hold on now, Condoleezza Rice. She had marching orders during the Bush administration, so many of the things that happened then were not her fault. But she is a sharp person, and you know, she skews the women vote, she skews the African American vote, and she's a smart person. Might not be a bad selection as VP. What do you think?
And she gave Willie Brown the warning not to fly before 9/11. So,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, George, you are something else. Adam, I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Kevin in Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead with George Norrie.
Thank you, Alex. I'm actually fellow conspiracy theorist here, so I'm in good company. My actual question for George was, how much aviation and or medical and scientific technology that we're using right now have we gained from like extraterrestrial information that we have found out? Because it seems to me like there's too much credible information from guys like Jesse Marcel and Bob Lazar, who actually are quoted as saying they witnessed these things, that we did all that we're doing right now with scientific and aviation technology on our own. I just wanted to get your take on that.
And, of course, the late Philip Corso, military expert, and he had been in the military all his career. He was assigned the project of giving reverse engineered technology to companies back after the Roswell episode to get them to work on things like laser technology and chips and things like that for computers. I think if one is a believer in extraterrestrial visitations, and in this vast universe, there's no question in my mind that we've been visited. The Zachariah Sitchin theory that we may have been seeded by ETs, very probable. I think that we've gotten some technology. I don't think it's one of those kinds of deals where they say, here, we're going to give you this technology, now let us abduct all these people. I think this probably came as a process of us finding some crashed craft.
And sure, so it's not Eisenhower at Area 51 hanging out with him. Thank you, Kevin. I want to get one more in before George has got to go in about a minute and a half. Real fast, Sean, go ahead from Michigan.
Yeah, I found some strange stuff when I Googled my last name because I end up finding out I'm a grandchild of Project Paperclip. The top theorist on the Hadron Collider is my last name.
That's amazing. We got to jump here. What about the Hadron Collider in closing? We talked about it earlier, but I mean, that's just kind of an Atlantis example, isn't it? George?
It sure is. The Hadron Collider may have been developed to get great information about the universe, but let's hope they don't make a mistake and create a wormhole that'll gobble us all up, Alex.
BeyondBelief.com is where folks can find your TV show. Everybody knows about the radio show, but the TV show is a big hit as well, BeyondBelief.com. George, thank you so much for spending all this time with us. Look forward to hanging out again with you in person like we did at your show in Toronto.
Thanks, my friend. Love you, Alex.
Love you too. We'll be back. Third hour, seconds away. Here's Joe Biggs' report on silencers. GTN,
the Genesis.
Will they be legalized without a federal stamp?
The Earth Riches of Wisdom. So we have Ian right there.
What's his name?
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
This is Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com. Now we're standing outside of the silencer shop in Austin, Texas. Now there's word that there's a bill on the table. It's called the Hearing Protection Act that could possibly pass to allow you, the consumer, to go out and just purchase a silencer. Now there's a lot of people out there when they hear the term silencer, they automatically think hitman, some kind of special operations, super sneaky squirrel guy popping out of the woods shooting people. But in actuality, really all it is for is to protect your hearing. So we're going to go in here. We're going to speak to the owner of the shop, find out what he thinks about this new bill, if he thinks it's going to pass or not, and just kind of get a little information about the silencer industry. So if this does pass, that's going to be great for business, obviously.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But do you think something like that's going to pass at all?
I think eventually it will. I think this current law that they're proposing is more of a, you know, getting the word out there, making people aware of the issue. I don't think it'll pass in the near term, but I think 5 to 10 years from now it could. This market right now is really, in the grand scheme of things, pretty tiny. You know, politically, it doesn't matter a whole lot because there aren't enough silencers out there for it to matter. I think what's going to get silencers out of the NFA faster than anything else is just the fact that there will be more silencers. And right now, the way this market's growing, I think within 5 to 10 years, we'll hit that critical mass where I think lawmakers will have to pay attention. And I think that's the point it's going to come out of the NFA. So, and then, you know, with a friendly administration and the politics lining up, I think they could come out. One of the things that they put in this law, the Hearing Protection Act, that I think is important is the tax credit. So essentially, if this law were to go into effect, basically everybody who purchases a suppressor after October 22nd of this year will get a $200 tax credit to essentially refund them for the $200 tax. I think that's one of the best things that went into the law. And the other thing I think people should consider is the American Suppressor Association is really the group behind this. And I think anybody who could support that, the ASA, I think they're doing really, really good work.
So on a day-to-day basis, you said you get quite a few people a month. How many people are coming through and actually buying these?
We sell roughly 3,000 a month.
So for someone out there that doesn't really know about silencers, give us, you know, an example of what they do, how they're helpful, and kind of get people away from that whole, you know, sniper mentality, hitman.
You know, realistically, silencers, first of all, they are not silent, right? They do quiet the firearm down to a level where they're safe to shoot without hearing protection a lot of times. They are great for new shooters. They're great for reducing recoil. They're really, really good for improving accuracy. Overall, I mean, basically think of it as instead of wearing the earmuffs on your head, you're putting them on the gun. It's just a lot more comfortable to shoot with a silencer.
So if I wanted to go and buy a silencer, what kind of steps would I have to go through right now? Not having, say, I just moved to Texas. I'm a new buyer. This would be a first time. What do I have to go through to be able to do that?
Yeah, the process is actually pretty simple. For most people, I mean, I won't go into the details here, but most people would register using a trust. We fill out all the paper. We submit everything to the ATF. There's really nothing really for the customer to do at all other than just provide a copy of their trust. And then there's a $200 tax and a waiting period, which can vary. Right now, it's around 4 months. We have information about all of this on our website at silencershop.com. I think that's probably the first place to go, and then visiting the American Suppressor Association's website as well.
All right, well, thank you. Well, there you have it. We're here at the Silencer Shop. I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com.
Took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Kaiser, host of RT, BBC, Al Jazeera, you name it, joins us. He has MaxKaiser.com. He, of course, is one of the inventors of one of the modern systems of trading and developed the Hollywood Stock Exchange. Look at the headlines we've got that tie into what he's going to be breaking down today. Nine of world's biggest banks join to form blockchain partnership. We have the announcement by Citibank. They want to move to retina scanning for your banking activities. Eurozone crosses Rubicon as Portugal's anti-euro left banned from power. Has it become impossible to prosecute white-collar crime? Another report out of Bloomberg. Yeah, they've gotten rid of almost all the white-collar crime fraud investigators at the IRS and only deploy them against the Tea Party. So whoever's anti-globalist, be it conservative or liberal, they get targeted here in the United States and around the world. And we have the EU dictatorship of private banks sucking these countries dry and saying we're going to directly tax your bank accounts with bail-ins. And Janet Yellen is continuing QE Unlimited because of, quote, weakening job data. We see reports of a calm before the storm in October. And most analysts now are saying, okay, the bond market's in trouble. The Chinese aren't buying U.S. debt. How much debt can the private Federal Reserve monetize? We've got huge military flare-ups with the Chinese in the Spratly Islands, China threatening military action, really unprecedented developments with the West overthrowing Ukraine a year and a half ago, moving proxy armies in, the West being caught running Al-Qaeda and ISIS. This has all the makings, according to mainline historians, of the kickoff of World War I or World War II. I'm not saying that's happening. I'm simply saying government's deploying armored vehicles to every town. They're digging in. They're getting weapons. Billions of bullets. Saying their enemy's the Tea Party that's against globalism. The TPP was signed 2.5 weeks ago. The details are still secret. We're going under world government. It is an incredible time to be alive. The best of times, worst of times. Folks are waking up. But at the same time, people are digging in more to the ignorance. Now, we go to break. In 9 minutes or 8.5 minutes, I'm going to give Max Kaiser the floor to break down the economic outlook and all the different angles we just broke down. And then we're going to come back from break and I'll have more questions. But Max Kaiser joining us via audio Skype. Thank you.
Hey, Alex. Great to be back on. Yeah, well, obviously, Janet Yellen just came out with her news that she's not going to do anything with interest rates. And of course, that was only a 4% chance that she would raise interest rates for the very simple reason that you cannot taper a Ponzi scheme. You know, you've got $200 trillion in debt around the world. So if Janet Yellen raises interest rates, then all these banks would become immediately insolvent. So what does this mean for folks? This means that the money that's being used to pay off the elite, they are running out of tricks on Wall Street. And so they are bringing in negative interest rates, which means that you are going to be charged to keep money at the bank. They're just going to take money right out of your bank. They call it negative interest rates. And for this reason, there's a lot more interest now in gold, silver, and cryptocurrencies. All of them are now trading above their 200-day moving averages. A lot of people are now revisiting gold, silver, and cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Startcoin, because they want to get out of the banking system that they see is on fire and imploding. Over 50% of all the sovereign bonds in Europe right now, of the two-year bonds, have a negative yield. That's right. 50% of the sovereign bonds in Europe are now negative yield. That means that they just confiscate your wealth. So this is coming to America. It's coming to Britain. And people, have you been saying on your show for quite some time, it's better to be a day early than a day late when it comes to protecting yourself against all the shenanigans. So that's clearly the kind of the big news of the day. And to help people, Alex, I am giving away free money today at startcoin.com. As a matter of fact, if you go to startcoin.com, I'm giving away free money to your listeners all day as a way to introduce them to cryptocurrencies, which I think is the only way to preserve your wealth We see it happening in China right now. Millions of Chinese people are now extremely worried that these bankers are starting to confiscate their wealth and they're moving their money out quickly. And this is why we're seeing these prices now starting to move aggressively. Other than that, if you look across the financial ecosphere around the world, clearly the reports that we're doing and the reports that you're doing are getting the people in Washington very nervous. I see John McCain now is openly calling to shut RT down. You know, you get the pressure over there, your shop. I know Matt Drudge is being pressured. You know, he's been on your show talking about it. So is RT. RT is being pressured every day. We get notices from the regulators, from the State Department, that they're coming after us. They want to shut the Kaiser report down. They want to take us off the air. But we're going to keep doing it, Alex, because there's nobody. John McCain, you know, he's not going to stop me. Nobody's going to stop me because people deserve this information.
Max Kaiser, continuing along that line, give us the big picture on where the world economy is right now, how big a deal it is that the Chinese are now for about 4 months not buying U.S. treasuries and are in fact dumping them and now making military threats. Because I'll say this, the U.S. has 180 bases, shouldn't have started a war with Russia, shouldn't have funded ISIS, but I've looked at the Spratly Island issue, it's in major dispute. China is building artificial islands and is being very, very threatening and has been entering into our territorial waters. So give me your take on that.
Yeah, well, China, you're right. They're selling U.S. treasury bonds and they are buying gold and they have allied with Russia and Iran in a major flashpoint in the world right now called Syria. And the U.S. and her allies are mucking it up tremendously in Syria, and the whole world is bearing witness to the fact that the U.S. was supporting ISIS and the worst of the worst of the terrorists, and Russia, China, Iran, these countries are actually stepping in to fill the leadership gap, and the propaganda coming out of the U.S. is being made a mockery out of it. And also here in the U.K., the BBC, every single night, they've become a laughing stock because they simply parrot all of the talking points that the U.S. State Department gives the BBC. And they just repeat them ad nauseum, and it's just become a hellacious shell of what the BBC used to be, and they're quite nervous about it. But yeah, that's right. So they're selling a lot of bonds because they recognize that the U.S. dollar is the victim of all this quantitative easing and all this money printing. When Janet Yellen prints a lot of money, or when the ECB prints a lot of money, or the Bank of Japan prints a lot of money, what does that do to the stock of money in circulation? It dilutes its value. Your purchasing power goes down. So the only way that they can keep that ball rolling, to keep the mirage in place, is to buy back their own bonds, buy back their own securities. But they don't have it's not a limitless game. You know, the Federal Reserve Bank is now in trillions of dollars worth of this paper on their balance sheet, but it doesn't end. I mean, it has to end at some point. So they realize that they're looking down both barrels of a currency collapse. And so the smart money like Russia, China, and even Iran, they are buying gold. They're buying gold aggressively, as we've been reporting on your show. But this is a game that cannot go on forever, and we definitely now see the telltale signs of fatigue. When they're actually going into negative interest rates, that would be the final signal to prepare yourself. There's nothing behind negative interest rates except for outright confiscation like they did in 1933 where they confiscated people's gold. That would be the next step. They just shut down your bank account and just say, look, the elites need your money. I'm sorry, you don't have access to it anymore, and it's all over. And that's coming. So and negative interest rates are the last major warning signal to get out of the banks.
Well, Max Kaiser is our guest, and you notice I'm shutting up because I really want to get his in-depth analysis and his serious reporting. Max, when you talk about people like Dent, or you talk about people like Schiff, he's right up there at the top with accurate predictions. We've been in a global implosion for several years. They say we've been in a great position, that Max Keiser's wrong. Well, no, Max Keiser was right, saying that China, he said 6 months ago, would stop buying our treasuries. Well, it took 3 months longer than he said. We're here. And he's right about 9 times out of 10, whereas CNBC's wrong about 9 times out of 10 on purpose. So I really want to pick his brain on where he thinks things are going. Leanne McAdoo will pop in live as well for 5 minutes on the melting down radioactive waste dump outside St. Louis that she demanded she go cover. That girl has a lot of courage. It will pop in for about 5 minutes. The next segment, we'll go back to Max Keiser and then your phone calls on financial issues. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. By the way, we have Supermel Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com back in stock. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine back in stock. Brain Force back in stock. Sleep Aid Knockout. It's about half the price of leading competitors that just have melatonin in it. This has valerian root and then what, 8 other ingredients. Melatonin, you name it. Best sleep aid I've ever taken, I know that. And I don't need it most nights to go to sleep. But when I do, when I am jacked up from working late, boom, this is what I take, and your purchase supports the broadcast. Liver Shield, the Liver Cleanse, is back in stock, and we've got 25% off the Liver Cleanse Pack. That's the Oxy Powder and the Liver Shield. 25% off, huge sale, InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com joins us. You know, Max, you know I'm not tooting your horn. It is true that different guests have predicted different pieces of this. You predicted the downturn earlier than it was admitted. You predicted that they would start not buying U.S. treasuries, and that at first that would actually look like they were bolstered as other people run in and start buying them. But now it's come true. Where do you see the interest rates going now? It was in CNBC today, negative. You said here 2 years ago, 6 months ago, it's on your site, you predicted negative interest rates. What does this signify?
Right. Yeah, I did say that we would see negative interest rates, and that at the time was seen as an impossibility, and yet it has come. The collapse that I've been talking about and other guests have been talking about is being delayed because you have around the world big central banks working together to buy their own bonds. They issue a bond, and then they buy it back. They are monetizing their own debt. And this is what we see every single time our currency collapses. The difference today in 2015 than in previous eras is that this is the first time in history you've got all the major central banks around the world working, coordinating together. Because you do have a world governance. You do have treaties like TPP, which gives a select group of corporations sovereignty over any state. So they are able to coordinate globally their central bank activities. So they have been able to delay this comeuppance, if you will, in the markets, where finally the paper currencies, and over the past 300 years, the number of paper currencies that have survived is exactly zero. None of them have survived. The average lifespan of a paper currency is less than 30 years. And this is going to be the case going forward. But negative interest rates, which at the time was seen as heresy, as impossible, we now have them. In places like Sweden, they are already starting to roll these out in the retail environment. When you go to the bank, they are now starting to take money out of your account.
Wasn't Switzerland first 2 years ago starting this?
In Europe, different countries in Europe, they've gone in and out of this, and now it's becoming more of a general trend all over Europe. And soon it'll just go global. We've seen it in outright confiscation, obviously, in places like Cyprus. We saw confiscation in Greece. And then this is a form of confiscation. It's called negative interest rate. They'll tell you there's an economic theory behind it. They'll tell you that this is needed to support what we hope to be growth, and we're supporting jobs. And we have these academics who tell you why their PhD that they wrote supports this idea and why it's healthy for everybody. But at the end of the day, it's just confiscation. They're just taking money out of your account because the debt is so huge, hundreds of trillions of dollars, that they've run out of ways to pay that debt. And now they're just stealing the money outright. So in these banks, there's a place where it's extremely unsafe to do business with these banks. So you've got right now, I will alert you to what's happening in the crypto space, because I was the first person on your show to talk about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. But what's happened in the last year is, you know, 2 years ago, crypto coins and Bitcoin were laughed at, particularly on Wall Street. But now Wall Street is getting in on the game. American Express is now introducing a crypto coin. Citibank is introducing Citicoin. All the banks in London are experimenting with cryptocurrencies. But we have a problem because their cryptocurrencies are centralized cryptocurrencies.
That's my next question. Max Kaiser, yes. Sit back, relax, 3-minute break. Then McAdoo comes on for a few minutes to give us an update. We're coming right back to you. We want to hear from you how you think this shakes out and how people protect themselves in this volatile environment. We'll look at military operations as well and take phone calls.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So, do you think that we'll just sail on off into the sunset with unlimited money printing? Or will there be a comeuppance? Hyperinflation, or will it be deflation and depression? Most of the world is already in financial and military and cultural crisis. Look at what's happening in Europe right now with the giant migrant flows. 800-259-9231 is the number for your comment on that subject or a financial question or comment to Max Kaiser. 800-259-9231. Looked like the phone system just had a hiccup, has gone back up. So now you've got a chance to call back in. 800-259-9231. We're going back to Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com. With more of his analysis and hopefully more of his predictions. So we want to see what he thinks is coming in the future, because he's been pretty darn accurate on most of his predictions in the past. After we talked to Leanne McAdoo, here is a clip of one of many reports her and Josh Owens have filed outside St. Louis at the big Manhattan Project site. Now, I told him, I said, I don't want you going to this unless you really volunteer. It's not my idea. It was Leanne's, but she's a tough cookie. She went out there. And it's been burning for 2 years, but now it's getting into the radioactive area. The good news is it was only about double what the normal background radiation is, and that can happen on a sunny day with the Geiger counters. Jakari found fish that had 10 times the normal, 14 times the normal in San Francisco. The media didn't believe it, sent reporters out there. This is 2 years ago, and they said, yeah, we found that. The Army went and confirmed Jakari's readings. We never claimed to be professional, you know, radiologists. We had professional Geiger counters and a field meter, and we just, you know, that were calibrated, and we showed the numbers. And then the Army went out and confirmed it, and it caused a debate. So here's a clip of one of her reports when she was right outside the fire zone within 100 yards yesterday. Here it is.
I just got a phone call from Dawn Chapman. She's the founder of Just Moms STL, as well as St. Louis RadWasteLegacy.com. She called to let us know that right now the landfill is experiencing a leachate leak. It's huge. Dawn, what's going on?
There's 10 to 11,000 gallons of leachate leaking right now back in the field down there. Leachate is very toxic. It's from the landfill. It's created from the burning Superfund materials and garbage that are occurring right next to you. We understand that a force main broke and the leachate, 10 to 11,000 gallons of it leaked. That's what you're smelling right now. You're smelling the actual odors and emissions from that leachate.
Right, and we're not going to be able to stay here too long because I'm literally feeling burning sensation in my chest. So this leachate, you call it dump juice, basically. But this is the radioactive material that's here in this landfill now. leaked 10,000 gallons. Leaked.
And by the way, I mean, the crew, you know, went out there. And I think they need respirators, not just masks. See the locals on with paper masks. I guess that might help a little bit. But the issue here is these things are all over the country. We spent a few minutes with Leanne. She's followed a bunch of reports. Some are going back to Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com. But this, for me, is indicative of the establishment not caring. Look at Fukushima. Look at all these other examples. Leanne, your Skype was breaking up too bad earlier. Thank you for spending so much time out there. I've kind of told you I want you to get out of the area, but you're still back there on top of the radioactive hill of waste that's starting to leak. Leanne McAdoo.
Well, we actually, Alex, that's right. We are back here at the West Lake landfill. I know you told us to fall back, but we wanted to come get some Geiger counter readings of our own, just for our own personal peace of mind. Happy to report that on this side of the perimeter, everything is fine. We're getting them in the high 40s. Of course, we'll probably be fine. The issue is for the families that have to be here every single day encountering that toxic material. Now, as you can see behind me, this is the leachate. This is where the leachate is stored, and it's leaked more than 10,000 gallons yesterday. What happens with leachate, it's kind of a water that's pumped through the landfill, and it absorbs some of the undesirable particulates in the landfill, which a lot of people complain about it because, you know, it'll cause pollution, things like that. The issue here is that this particular landfill, there is radioactive material. So this is what the families are concerned about, is how are you allowing this to, you know, leak into the air and things like that if we know that there is now a radioactive material here on this site.
Well, Leanne, and I talked to you privately earlier. You were pretty emotional, like you're talking to people with their deformed children. There's neighborhoods around this. Report that to folks.
You know, it has been a very emotional here. We've got some reports that are going to be coming up later where we actually got to sit down with some of these families, and there is a huge cancer cluster in the area. It's not from this particular landfill, but it's from the same Manhattan Project waste that has been dumped all around this city in many different areas. And so we've spoken with people who were actually involved there at Mallinckrodt Chemical Works. Their parents died. Their children have died. And then also we are speaking with people who were playing around in the creek in the 80s when a lot of the material in the soil, the sediment, was being moved and shuffled around when they were trying to create new subdivisions. Little did they know that there was 240,000 industrial waste barrels buried underneath that ground where the waste was from the Manhattan Project. And so they're just pushing the sediment around. These families, they're planting gardens in their yard, thinking they're doing good, feeding their children fresh fruit and vegetables. And now there is a huge cancer cluster in the area. This area alone has 300,000 people and 45 cases of appendix cancer, which, just to put that in perspective, you should see maybe one in 100,000. Here, it's outrageous. All sorts of cancers, like I said, birth defects, autoimmune disease.
Sure.
And so we need to take this seriously because these Manhattan Project sites are all over the nation.
Well, exactly. And again, you've got 90%+ of the 440-something reactors worldwide leaking. I'm going to ask Max Kaiser about this in a moment. I know he's been passionate on it. We've got all these other research reactors at universities that are leaking. And now they just cover it up when it leaks. The EPA, as you know, you reported yesterday, is just saying, oh, we're not worried about it, it's no big deal. And just what is the attitude of the establishment to dump this type of garbage? You filed 5 reports. I know you've got some other interviews you're going to do, and then you're going to come on back, Leanne, because we don't want you to, you and Josh, to suffer the same fate as those locals. I think the bottom line is people should research where they live.
Right.
And try to not live close to these toxic landfills, even if the government says it's nutritious.
Absolutely. And that's what the families are fighting for, is just to keep better track of this so people can know if they're moving into these communities. They didn't even know that there was the Manhattan Project was being worked on in St. Louis until a few years ago. These families, they wouldn't have bought their homes here if they knew that they were going to build right next to radiological waste. No, the community was not told. If they had lead paint in their homes, they would have to be told, but they weren't even. They had no idea. And so it's just very frightening. And like I said, you know, this is all across the country. And a lot of people don't understand why they're coming up with these rare cancers, why they're 30 years old, 35 years old, dying from cancer, or why their children are born with brain tumors, you know, that you see in 70-year-old men. So it's a pretty big deal, and they're just trying to get the government and the state government to do something about it, because this is going to happen to this next generation of people with this waste right now.
That's right, Leanne. And be sure, I know you already have this set up. Don't let us bug you with these live broadcasts, because we can air all this later in the week and next week. Get those interviews with those parents. I mean, Fukushima happened 4+ years ago. They said we were conspiracy theorists to say that it would hurt children. Now they admit the rates of cancer, thyroid cancer in children are some of the highest in the world within 100 miles of Fukushima. So this attitude of just calling people conspiracy theorists is such a serious crime by these elites. And it really frightens me to think who's running things. Leanne McAdoo and Josh Owens, great job. When are you planning to come back to Austin?
We'll be flying back Thursday night, so we'll see you there Friday. I'll be doing the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, well, let's have you and Josh in studio on Friday. Leanne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, there goes Leanne McAdoo. I appreciate Max Kaiser giving up part of his interview for that, because her Skype wasn't working, or our Skype wasn't working earlier. It was working now. Important info. Max, I think this ties in to the derivatives and to everything else, that the establishment has never been perfect, but they're more reckless than ever with derivatives and toxic waste and Hadron Colliders and wars with China and Russia and the Middle East. I mean, what do you think's going on with the establishment? And then I want you to get in more into where you think the economy's going.
Well, I talked to you about my theory, what I call interest rate apartheid. And we all know what apartheid is, when you have a portion of the population put into a ghetto, essentially, and they are deprived basic services. And we've seen this famously in South Africa and in other places. But an interest rate apartheid is where you have some of the population able to borrow money at 0% and make bets in the financial markets. And if those bets are pay off, they can keep the profits. But if the bets go bad, then they get bailed out by the state. That's what happens to the people living on the right side of the interest rate apartheid wall. If you're living on the wrong side of the interest rate apartheid wall, then you are borrowing money on your credit card at 16%. You're engaged with credit with payday lenders who might charge you an annualized rate of 3,000 or 4,000%. It's atrocious. If you miss a payment, you get charged, you get nickel and dime, you get harassed on the highway. It's, you know, seizures of wealth on the highway, et cetera. So this is the interest rate apartheid. So unless you're able to borrow money at 0%, and I mean a million, 10 million, 5 million, 50 million, no questions asked, then you're living in a ghetto. You live in the wrong side of this whole economic fandango. And you are living like a second or third class citizen. So everyone listening to your show should ask yourself this question. Can I go out and borrow $10 million at 0% interest right now? And if the answer is no, then welcome to the ghetto.
If I want to buy a house, I've got to pay, and I've got good credit, 6% interest, 7% interest, and I've got to put 20, 30% down that I don't even have. I mean, it's crazy. And people would think I'm, quote, wealthy. Of course, I'm not. I mean, imagine getting $50 million loan at 0% interest. How do you enter that club, Max Kaiser?
Well, I mean, okay, so you're buying a house, you'll pay 6% or what have you. Now look at a firm like BlackRock on Wall Street. They're buying a whole development in Manhattan with thousands of units, and they'll get a total tax break. Their cost of funding will be under 0%. It'll be less than 0%. They'll get a tax abatement. And they'll get all of these properties essentially for way below market value. And that's because they live on the right side of the interest rate apartheid wall. They know the right people. They go to the right meetings. They make the right bribes. I think if you ask me, how do you get on the right side of this? It comes down to bribery, just like any other tin pot dictatorship like America or any other dictatorship. It's all about bribes. These guys know who to bribe. And when I was working on Wall Street, to get the good deals, you had to bribe the compliance officer. You had to bribe the national sales manager. You had to bribe the regional sales manager. This is the way business is done in America today. Unfortunately, it's no longer a meritocracy. It's really degraded into an economy based on bribes, kickbacks, insider trading, which is legal. If you're a Washington senator or a congressman, you don't have to comply with insider trading laws. And you're just gifted money. As long as you rubber stamp military actions. And as long as you rubber stamp every godforsaken policy and low interest rates and corruption, you get the big, fat, juicy reward. Look at Nancy Pelosi or any of these people in Washington. They've become multimillionaires simply because they're corrupt. And they just...
Yeah, she showed up worth less than $1 million. And last time I saw, she's worth like $188 million, I think. But that's right, not that's, the real
that's,
scam.
That's what I'm saying.
Her husband made billions.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Eric Holder, former attorney general of the United States. He's now back on Wall Street, working for a Wall Street firm, milking it for millions, tens of millions, probably $100 million. He's the guy who said, I'm sorry, but these banks are too big to prosecute. Now there's a theory going around Wall Street that if your crime is complicated enough, then no jury will be able to understand it, so therefore you're innocent. This has just been borne out by several cases where juries were told about bankers committing massive fraud, and when they got through explaining what the fraud was, using derivatives, etc., the jury couldn't make any sense of it because it's ultra complicated, so they said, well, then I guess they're innocent. This goes back to the dot-com bubble, the 2000 era. Frank Quattroni, he worked at a bank called Credit Suisse. He was caught red-handed engaging in a scam called laddering IPOs. It's an old trick on Wall Street. He was caught red-handed. He went before the jury. They argued their case, and they concluded that, well, the jury's too stupid to understand this, so we're going to, he's free. He's innocent by virtue of stupidity of the American people. And now it's just gone systemic. Almost every single banker in the world now can go to a court and say, well, what? How did you steal the money? Well, we used an out-of-the-money butterfly put spread and hedged it with a futures contract wrapped in a credit default swap, and that's how we did it. The jury will say, what does that mean? And the judge will say, you're innocent because you're too stupid. This guy's innocent. Go to get an MBA. Go get a doctorate in finance and come back in 30 years.
Well, I've always said corruption is able to hide in complexity. And that's exactly what's going on with these derivatives. I mean, if you really look at them, they're just incredibly complex frauds, so they can sell them hundreds of times over. But at its basis, it's a fraud, selling the same house more than once, selling the same mortgage to more than one person.
Let's dig into that a little bit, because you're absolutely correct that selling the same thing more than once is fraud, and it's at the root of these problems. On Wall Street, there's a term called hypothecation, where you are using securities as collateral for loans. The reason why London is the center, the global center for all the major financial scandals, AIG, Madoff, the London Whale, Lehman Brothers, is because only in London do they provide for infinite rehypothecation. And when you define what that means, it means that you can sell the same security an infinite number of times to an infinite number of clients. You can, and so therefore, you can imagine that there's quite a bit of room for fraud. Why did Lehman go under? Because if you looked at their books, you discovered that they had assets that they had sold 100 or 200 or 300 times. Now, when those people come to collect, they can't all get their money, right? So it's the ultimate Ponzi scheme, but it's legal. It's legal in the City of London. That's why all countries and all major banks outsource their major crime to the City of London, because it has the most lax regulatory environment of any jurisdiction in the world.
I want to go to break in this next little six-minute segment, hopefully do five more into the next hour before we hand the baton to David Knight to get to Stephen, Dion, Bill, Brandon, and others that have questions or comments for Max Kaiser. MaxKaiser.com is the website. We're going to break in 30 seconds, but is it fair to say the globe itself is back in depression, Max?
It never got out of depression. It's just you had a sugar high from a real estate bubble, but now that's popping again.
Well, even mainstream media now says, okay, stuff's bad, but we've always known it's never really gotten better unless you're part of the select chosen inside corporations and groups. But now they're all having to get armored redoubts and dig in and have escape plans. I mean, that doesn't sound like winning to me. We'll be back. Fourth hour is coming up with David Knight. I didn't really cover this properly today, but the writers did. And of course, I'm demonized in the report. Southern Poverty Law Center has come out and says, quote, conspiracy theories originating on the extreme right have invaded American political life, and that's not good for democracy, Southern Poverty Law Center. And they basically call for restricting free speech. SPLC calls parents against Common Core conspiracy theorists. SPLC attacks the First Amendment. That's some of the key reports up on Infowars.com. So it's very, very important. Max Kaiser, I want to go to some phone calls right now, but whether it's people on the left or the right, speech is being restricted all over Europe right now. We're seeing it here. And I think that's part of this gulag casino economy you've warned about.
Well, look what's going on in Portugal. They just had an election. The left won most of the votes, but the government, the ECB, the unelected bureaucrats of the Eurozone came in and said, we're not going to respect those results.
So, that's right. That's mainstream news that it's a dictatorship, basically. I have it right here.
Right. It's a dictatorship. So it's a, and they respond, they answer to the TPP and other global. I mean, what you've talked about, New World Order, for years, it's hard to argue that we're not now living in this corporocracy where these corporations have sovereignty over any state. We just saw in Portugal.
And let's listen to this. The president has banned the left from power.
Okay, well,
that's the London Guardian saying, doesn't say the government's become dictatorial and banned the new elected government that wants to leave the EU. They just say the left's been banned from power.
Right, and for those listeners that will say, well, that's good because I'm a right-wing guy, well, you know, next week it'll be the right wing is banned from power. It doesn't matter if you're left or right. Your power as an individual is being banned.
Sure, they got right-wing Germans trying to get out of the EU, and they're trying to ban them right now.
You're right. So it's the only body that has any power, you know, get back to my interest rate apartheid. If you can borrow unlimited amounts of money at 0% interest rate,
no one can compete.
You can buy assets, you can buy power, you can bribe people, and you create this 1% or one-tenth of 1% that becomes a global kleptocracy.
You're absolutely dead on target. Dion in Illinois. Dion, you're on the air with Max Kaiser.
Yeah, Max, I wanted to know, when is the United States going to go through hyperinflation like Venezuela, and don't the central banks favor inflation instead of deflation?
That's a good question.
Okay. Yeah, well, first of all, this inflation question is kind of interesting, particularly in the United States, because, or here in Britain, they'll say that the inflation number might be at -1% or at 0% or maybe 1%. But if you go into the grocery store, you'll notice that over the past couple of years, all the packaged goods, the prices have remained the same, but the servings inside those packaged goods are 10% less, 20% less, 30% less. There's a story out right now, you can do a search for it, where the company called SodaStream, they're selling the exact same product, the exact same size package, but it's 70% less product. Now, that's hyperinflation. That's hyperinflation right there. You're just paying 70% more for that product. So it's called shrinkinflation.
Sure.
Or it's a stealthy inflation. Now, the question is, wouldn't they prefer inflation to pay their debts? And the answer is that, look, in viewed in that way, of course, it's better to be able to pay your debts off with ever-decreasing money. The value of your money is constantly going down.
Yes.
But we live in a world where these big banks and central banks, no matter how much money is being created or pumped up, the balance sheets of these big banks still are collapsing and they're still aggregating more debt. And that is what we call deflation. So if you want to get down to the nitty gritty here, we live in a world where we have deflation in a macro sense on the bank's balance sheets.
That's what I've always said. Wouldn't you call that like hyper stagflation?
You could do that, sure. Hyperstagflation is as good a term as any.
I've been saying that for years because the real economy shrinks. You get paid less, but things cost more. The ultimate screw job. It's not supposedly able to happen in a real market, but this is a rigged market. Back in 70 seconds, Max. Thank you, Dion. We'll talk to Bill and a few other callers, and then David Knight takes over. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Let's move quick now through your calls with Bill, Brandon, Tobias, and a few others. Bill, you're on the air from California with Max Kaiser.
Okay, are you there?
Yes,
I
am.
My question is this. I have a theory that since our money is going to be worth absolutely nothing, and I keep getting these credit cards. Let me back it up a second. My wife and I are both retired, living on a fixed income. We have no hard assets in our names, so they can't come after us. Why not take all these bank credit cards I have, run them up, go out and buy all the food I want, the guns I want, whatever else, else I want, what are they going to do about it in the end? They can't take anything from me, right?
Yes, but they're trying to change the laws to bring back debtor prisons. Max Kaiser?
Well, the caller is correct, but I would suggest that to make that effective, do an online campaign and get 10, 20, 30 million people to do it at the same time. Then you win.
Yeah, because they're getting all this free money and trying to pass it on as debt to us. I mean, I've never endorsed something like this. It just kind of sounds immoral. But if it is fiat money from these crooks, why not screw them?
I agree. But for an individual to do it, the odds are not in their favor. But if that individual started a campaign online and said, on this date in 3 months from now, I want a million or 10 million people to do exactly what he described, then he would have an enormously powerful message being sent to the crooks.
But then they could argue that you were organizing a fraud and maybe indict you for racketeering. I mean,
But Alex, you and I have had this conversation before. When you have a revolution, you're going to break a few eggshells.
No, I get it. I get it. I understand it. I just fundamentally don't like not paying a debt off. But I get it's all fraud and fiat to begin with. You know, it's kind of like in the fictional.
The weapon that they use is debt, you see. I mean, you talk about gun rights because you're concerned about people with guns. I'm saying that the true evil is being perpetrated using debt.
No, therefore, I get it. It's weaponized debt.
That's what I'm saying. You need to load those debt bullets.
All right, Bill, interesting point. Very interesting point. Brandon in Florida, go ahead.
Max, basically my question was, how are they going to sugarcoat these negative interest rates to Americans? Like, how are they going to get that to be in our interest? You know, besides maybe saying that it's going to stimulate the economy. But if, you know, everyone found out, like you said, that they're going to be basically just taking money out of your account just for having it, I mean, how is that going to pass?
Well, it's a good question. So, I mean, it opens up two or three points here. Remember, there was a confiscation done in 1933. They confiscated people's gold, and they put all that gold in something called Fort Knox.
Yeah, they just digitally grab it out from your bank under these new executive orders for economic emergencies.
But so we know that, you know, so how do they sugarcoat it? I think there's two ways to sugarcoat it. Number one, as you point out, it'll be sold as a temporary measure that we need to finally break the back of this depression and get the economy back on feet. So it'll be presented like that.
It's a one-time bail-in of your bank account. If you don't do it, you'll lose everything.
Right. In 1971, Nixon said it'll be a short-term measure for America to close the gold window and take off our obligations in the gold market. Of course, that has been with us now for over 40 years. The second way is for there to be concerted propaganda. So they need a scapegoat. And obviously, Russia in RT is the scapegoat with John McCain out there, you know, saying close down RT, et cetera. So they need a scapegoat. Russia is emerging as the scapegoat du jour. And so the politically and economically, they'll hit you from both ends.
That's right. We got to jump, Max. Excellent points as usual. Tobias in Oregon. Quick question. Final question for Max Kaiser.
Yes. Comment to Max. Our jury is a backbone of our entire system. And a little caveat to what he was saying about the stupidity of the public, basically, in the jury system is simply that it's supposed to be a jury of our peers, and a jury of our banking peers of good moral standing would have been able to convict that man.
That's true, you know, the jury process system is highly corrupt as well. If you watch any of these cop shows, they bring in all kinds of consultants, and they're constantly figuring out ways to rig the jury. And before I go, Alex, let me point out that if you ever saw that film Idiocracy, which points to how stupid America can get, it was set in the year 2015.
Absolutely. It was supposed to be like 2200 and something, but it's actually happened. You're right, Max. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time. David Knight coming up.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host in this fourth hour wrap-up. Jakari Jackson is going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have some reports from Leanne McAdoo on the site of a toxic waste dump in St. Louis that there is a fire nearby. That's what happens when you have the government cleaning up your environment. We've talked about what happened with the gold mine that the EPA exploded causing a massive, massive dump of toxic waste into rivers that spanned over a couple of states. And, of course, we've got the BLM trying to steal people's land here in Texas. We covered that last night on the nightly news. I was really, I read a long excerpt from Governor Abbott's letter to the BLM because I thought it was the quality of something you would see from the founding fathers. And I'm serious. I'm genuinely not impressed with politicians. If you listen to me very much, you'll know that I'm very cynical. I'm very cynical about the presidential candidates that we have when it comes to politicians. But I've said over and over again, we need to have someone at the state level who understands, respects the Constitution, obeys the Constitution, that will stand up for our rights when the federal government steps across the line. Our founders gave us a government of checks and balances because they knew the greatest danger was consolidation, concentration of power, which is what we've seen. And we've seen these abuses come as the power has been concentrated. What we need to have are informed jurors. We need to have a citizenry who will stand up and watch the back of their fellow citizens in court, whether it's the federal government or whether it's the state government or the local government that's out of line. We need to have fully informed juries. That's very important. But we also need to have state nullification. And so that letter, if you haven't seen that letter, you need to see what Governor Abbott wrote to them and said, you're just stealing people's property. They've worked here for generations. I'm not going to allow you to do that. You took an oath to the Constitution, and that Constitution you took an oath to prohibits you from doing this. So it's good to see that. I thought that was very positive news. Of course, we're going to have the debate coverage live tonight as part of the InfoWars nightly news. We're going to have live coverage and commentary of the third GOP debate. It's going to be on the economy. Ja'Kari Jackson is going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour. We're going to give you some previews about some of the things that may be talked about tonight. And, of course, some of the things that they won't talk about, but things that we will talk about. And I have to say, too, that I've seen a couple of people write comments and say, you guys are talking over the debate. And it's like, yeah, we do play the debate, and then we do talk over it at some points in time. And we play subtitles so that we know what they're saying, so that you can see what they're saying. And, of course, you can listen on another device if you want to listen to the debate live. But you need to understand this is kind of a Mystery Science 3000 debate. We give it the respect that it's due. and we also, if you want to think of it as the commentary track on a DVD. That's probably the best way to think about that. They're constantly talking, and we're constantly talking. We do let them talk occasionally when they get onto actually a policy issue. But we're there to make commentary, and that's what we do. Now, I looked at the news today, and you know, it was just a week ago that we had Back to the Future Day. October 21st, 2015, where everybody was, that was the day in the Back to the Futures trilogy, the second one, where they went 30 years in the future from 1985. And I looked at this story that's been covered on a number of news or places. Daily Mail's got it. The New York Daily News has got it. There's this kid skateboarding, and I thought, you know, this is what would really have happened to Marty McFly if he had come 30 years in the future. He would have had a police officer tackle him off of his skateboard, throw him on the ground, jump on him, put a chokehold on him, pepper spray him, because skateboarding is illegal now, okay? So not only do we make something that isn't a crime into a crime, but then, of course, we go over the top with force, with brutality, even using things that could kill someone. In this particular instance, you have a New York cop locking his arms around a guy who is, his name is Yibin Mu, 22 years old, locking it around his head, taking him to the ground in the center of Columbus Circle in New York City on Sunday. He put this YouTube video of it happening. You can hear people in the park saying, yo, here we go again, says another person. And he says he was charged with resisting arrest. You look at this, he's not resisting arrest. But resisting arrest for what? I mean, shouldn't you have to be breaking a law if you're getting arrested, but disorderly conduct and failure to comply with posted signs, just because it is so important to not have people riding skateboards. I remember back in 1985, literally, we had a business and we had some kids in the neighborhood who would like to skateboard around the retail center. I had no problem with it, but even then, we had cops who would chase them. And it's like, hey, this is private property. I pay the rent on this property. If I don't mind if they're skateboarding on the sidewalk. We didn't have people walking on the sidewalk in any numbers. And they weren't causing a problem. Nobody was complaining about it, but they were getting harassed by the police, trying to grab them. And we would let them duck into our business and hide in the back from the police because it's not a crime. They weren't doing anything to hurt anybody. As a matter of fact, one of these guys became one of our longest-term employees who was salutatorian at the high school. He was a good kid. And these police and the way they're acting in 2015 versus 1985 is just insane. And of course, we have this new article on Infowars.com. No charges against a cop involved in a controversial shooting of a teen. In a federal lawsuit, the family says the teen was shot in the side and in the back. You can see that article up on Infowars.com right now. They say no criminal charges will be filed against a South Carolina cop who killed a 19-year-old during a drug sting. Because, you know, we've got to do this war on drugs thing that hasn't worked for 44 years, but let's not stop trying. Let's just keep doing the same thing over and over again, even though we get no results from it. That truly is insanity. It's murder. It's theft. It's corruption. It's illegal because there is no authority to do it. Show me the amendment. I'll say this every time we talk about this. Show me the amendment that gives them the authority to prohibit anything. They needed an amendment to prohibit alcohol. The FDA wants to prohibit your medical drugs. They need an amendment as well. They just assert that they have the authority. We've let them get away with it. It's time we say, you know what? We're going to read the Constitution. We're going to enforce the Constitution. You don't have authority to do any of this stuff that you're doing. The FDA, the DEA, people ought to look at this and say, where is the constitutional amendment for your authority? There is none. And then, of course, as I talked to Zoltan Isfahan, the humanist who came in the other day, it was interesting, right after that conversation, that this story came up. A salon worker praised cryotherapy, then froze to death during a treatment. And see, this is what I think really comes up with people who have a blind trust in trendy technology. And I think that's one of the worst things that we can do is to look at every piece of technology that comes along and just say, hey, you know, we're going to, I want to give it a try because that would just be great. Imposing the most rosy scenario on possible outcomes. No, actually, if it's something to do with my health, and I would think that, you know, as I talked to Zoltan Isfahan, yeah, he was into implants, he was into brain, you know, implants into his arm, he was into implants into his head, and it's like, you might want to look at the people who came up with this idea, look at their long history, look at where they're going. This is an idea coming from DARPA. This is about government control. And it may have immediate health effects to you as well. I mean, it was designed to do that. But of course, they put a beard on it. They say, oh, no, these brain implants are just to help veterans with PTSD. In this story of this cryotherapy, this salon worker had just tweeted out how great it was shortly before she died. And they show a tweet here of somebody else saying, hey, I'm going to test the cryotherapy chamber. I'm taking the ice bath into the future. Ice bath into the future. There you go. Maybe it's an ice bath into eternity. Yeah, that's where a lot of this creepy tech is going. We also have another gee whiz technology article here. And I see this increasingly from Wired Magazine. It used to be that only Popular Science would just look at everything that came out, whether it was from DARPA and the military industrial complex or from a private company, and everything is just great. Never have a problem with any of this stuff. I'm sure there's no question about side effects or anything. Now we see this from Wired Magazine. It's like they're under some kind of new editorial leadership here. Cars that talk to each other are much easier to spy on. That's about as much as you're going to see them push back anymore. And they're talking about talking cars. This is V2V is what they call it, what the Department of Transportation calls it. V2V, vehicle-to-vehicle communication. And, of course, they were going to come out with mandatory regulations at the end of 2015. Now the feds are going to introduce their mandatory regulations the end of this year. They're trying to accelerate it. Yeah, that's right. Obama doesn't just fast-track globalist trade treaties. He's also fast-tracking ways to control and monitor everything you do in terms of your transportation. That's going to take a couple of years, even after they come out with these mandated regulations. It'll take a couple of years before you're going to be forced to pay for this in your cars. And they will probably force you to get it retroactively. They may grandfather it in, but they may force you to buy some devices for your existing cars. And they say, of course, it promises to drastically reduce collisions and traffic jams, but it will come at a cost to your privacy. A car that never shuts up will be a lot easier to track. That's even coming from Wired magazine. They say researchers in the Netherlands and Germany have found they can use just a few $1,000s worth of equipment to track a vehicle that's emitting the so-called connected vehicle wireless communication proposed for future vehicle-to-vehicle communications. With only two $550 devices strategically planted at intersections, they were able to follow unique signatures on cars' radio communications. And they say, what's going to happen is this car's going to be going down the road. And like I said many, many times before, yeah, they're talking cars, and they're going to be talking about you. They're going to be saying, I'm Alice. Here's my location. This is my speed. This is my direction. Here's my address if you want to send me a ticket. Here's who I am if you want to raise my insurance rates. And, oh, by the way, NSA and the rest of the geospatial intelligence, looking at your activity-based intelligence, your human domain analytics, if you want to map me and know everything that I'm doing so you can put me into your pre-crime matrix, turn me over to your algorithms and see what pops up. Here's all of my information. I mean, what could be better than that? Well, we're going to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center when we come back. They're pushing back against us, essentially, going down point by point. We're going to talk about a few of the things that they're saying and why they're so scared. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this fourth hour news wrap-up. Jakari Jackson will be joining me in the next segment. In this segment, I want to talk about this new Southern Poverty Law Center report. Before I do, I want to let you know that we have 10% off right now on InfoWars Select Food. You can get that at InfoWarsSelect.com. And the key thing is, you can get free shipping. This would save you almost $300 on a one-year food supply. This is ingredients made in the USA. It's packaged exclusively in the USA. Everything from the tote to the packaging to the food made in the USA. It's great quality food, and once you open it, it's packaged to last for 25 years. Once you open it, you can reseal it with Ziploc bags. It's a great deal right now, 10% off and free shipping. Let me read you one of the reviews on our site. This is from Sky Lookup, East Bay, California. He says, great value. What you get for the price, perfect storage container to take up the least amount of space. Great dishes for the whole family. And like I said, if you get a one-year supply, you can save up to $300 right now with that free shipping and 10% discount. That's at InfoWarsSelect.com. Now, this report from the SPLC, listen to the beginning of this. Listen to how this starts at the very top. When I saw this and read these two things, I thought, yeah. And I think you'll see what I mean. Conspiracy theories originating on the extreme right have invaded American political life, and that's not good for democracy. No, actually, it's not good for the Southern Poverty Law Center. When they say that they've invaded American political life, and they write this massive report. I mean, look at how big this thing is. When they say it's invaded American life, in other words, people understand that it's true. It has credibility. It has street credibility. Is far more credible than the government's stories. And that's a problem for them. So they have to try to push back on this. And they start out with a quote from Francis Bacon. And this is the quote. They say, there's nothing makes a man suspect much more than to know little. And I look at that and I thought, well, okay, that's kind of archaic language. And I thought, are they using the word suspect as a verb or a noun? You know, Do I suspect what the government is doing as a verb? Because I know that the government official story is a constantly changing lie. They're known liars. We've seen them lie constantly, and they give us one improbable, impossible story after the other. Let me give you a quote from, you want to quote Francis Bacon? Fine. Let me quote you what Sherlock Holmes said, or Arthur Conan Doyle, actually. And he said, once you eliminate the impossible, which is typically what the government is telling us, then what's left, no matter how improbable, is the truth. We call ourselves truthers. What's the opposite of truthers? Liars. Liars in the government. They have to work hard to hide this information from the public. That's one of the things that makes them suspicious, okay? That's one of the things that makes us suspect, is the fact that they are working so hard to hide everything from us. They give us lies. I mean, just look at the circumstances around Benghazi, or look at the circumstances around the recent hospital shooting in Afghanistan. with Benghazi. We were told that it was a filmmaker, this little obscure, ridiculous film that nobody had ever heard of. They actually wound up jailing the guy, and we were told that was what was behind it. I mean, just one lie after the other. And then, of course, the fact that they jail any whistleblowers who expose their criminal actions, or maybe kill them. Okay, and of course, they would love to jail or kill Snowden. How many times have you seen people go on national TV saying that they would love to kill or jail Snowden? Left and right. Left and right, folks. Because just as I pointed out last night, the Nightly News, Daily Beast has become the biggest cheerleader for drone wars, for assassination strikes. I mean, just absolutely disgusting article, and I won't go back into that again. You can look at last night's Nightly News. I talked about it on the news on Sunday as well, I believe. But of course, even though they jail people who expose their crimes, no one in the government ever goes to jail for any crimes, okay? And neither do their partners. You know, you don't send anybody in the IRS to jail. Yeah, maybe they will impeach the head of the IRS. We'll see what happens. The GOP is finally trying to do something with that. But of course, Lois Lerner, they said, oh, we're not going to prosecute her. We're the Justice Department. The Justice Department. The Justice Department that refused to prosecute HSBC after being caught multiple times, even after they were put on probation. They went out and they caught them again, laundering money for the Sinaloa drug cartel. El Chapo, the guy that everybody was so concerned about breaking out of prison. Well, he had his own special window that was set up by HSBC just for money laundering. And of course, you have UBS and many others who are laundering money for drug cartels, for terrorist organizations. But the Justice Department, Obama's Justice Department, says it wouldn't serve public interest for these people to go to jail. So this is the SPLC. And of course, the SPLC, whose founder, Morris Deese, only involvement in the civil rights struggle of the 1960s was to defend the Ku Klux Klan for a massive amount of money. That SPLC. I did a report on that once called The Prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, The Prophets of Hate. Yes, SPLC is spewing its hate. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jakari Jackson.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this fourth hour news wrap-up. Joining me in this half hour is Jakari Jackson. Welcome, Jakari.
Thank you, David.
Now, I was just talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center article. I would say article. It's a massive book here going down point by point the kind of stuff that we've been covering here pretty extensively. I thought it was interesting, like I said, when I looked at this and they said, nothing makes a man suspect more than to know little. And I thought, are they talking about that as being a verb or a noun? And of course, I talked about why we suspect them as a verb, okay? Mm-hmm. Why we suspect what the government tells us. But of course, what they're trying to do is turn everybody who disagrees with the government into a suspect noun, okay? That's what this is all about. That's what we're seeing with the Strong Cities Network, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center. This Strong Cities Network that was announced at the UN with the Attorney General is something that is an initiative, a think tank that started in Europe. They're also going to be involved in running that. And just like the Southern Poverty Law Center, if you want to look up the terms radical Islam, what you will find is not any articles about what radical Islam is doing in the United States. Instead, what you will see are articles saying anybody that talks about radical Islam, Islamic phobic, okay, or xenophobic. If you're talking about that, you're Islamophobic. Nothing at all about what radical Islam is doing. And of course, both of those are true. I mean, there are people who are xenophobic, okay? But there's also reasons to be concerned about that. If you talk exclusively about one of these, basically what you're doing is you're manipulating people. And we know that's precisely what the Southern Poverty Law Center has been doing. And that's exactly where Morris Deese has hung out. He set out the entire civil rights movement of the 1960s. The only involvement was to defend the Ku Klux Klan when they went in and burned buses and beat protesters. They set out the rest of it and then jumped back in the 1970s after he had done a direct mail campaign for McGovern. He thought, hey, I could make a lot of money. And so what he did was he worked for the McGovern campaign, got a mailing list of about 700,000 people, and then reinvented himself as not somebody who was now an ally of the Klan, like most of the Southern Democrats had been, like Morris Deese had been in the 1960s. He had been an ally as a Southern Democrat of the Ku Klux Klan. Then he comes out as their sworn enemy.
You know, David, the thing I noticed about this article, I took a glance at it earlier today. Like I said, it's quite dense. It's going to take some time to go through. But they were talking about, you know, Alex and trying to link him into these anti-government groups. And the thing that's interesting about me, whether we talk about police brutality or, you know, NSA spying or all these other things that are currently going on in the country, a lot of people are have speculation about the activities and the intentions of the federal government right now, as opposed to, you know, what's going on in the streets. Because they say it's anti-government to question the government, but, you know, when you see these videos that come out every day of police brutality, so if you say you want police reform, is that being anti-government? If you see these stories about the NSA spying, you say, I want to stop the NSA spying, is that being anti-government? Whether it's, you know, drones or drugs or any of these other things that continue to happen, mm-hmm. they just act like if you have any type of criticism or even knowledge of these things in the first place, you're just some weird conspiracy theorist because you're actually concerned about things that happen in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. And the very first one of these, and they go through like 10, 12 of these different ones. The very first one here is number one. Common Core is a plot against our children. I mean, they had some pretty bad timing because it just broke in the news all over the place that kids are getting marked as wrong when they say 3 5s equals 15. Yeah, they want you to write down 5 3s equals 15. If they're trying to teach the multiplication, we got something called the commutative principle. Oh, they don't want to tell them that.
They don't want to talk about that. But as you were saying with that article, we do have Kit's article. SPLC calls parents against Common Core conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Now, we've documented this extensively, talking about how they want to say 2 plus 2 equals, you know, whatever, 6, 12, whatever number they want it to be. And now we see more and more of this, of people being marked wrong on their tests because they do their math in the correct way. Mm-hmm. This is like, and we've seen the articles previously, you need to come with those friendly numbers, whatever that means, you know, just the most ridiculous things that you can imagine.
Absolutely absurd. And of course, going back to the 1980s, Charlotte Isserby, who was in Reagan's Department of Education, Reagan should have shut down the Department of Education. He said he was going to shut it down. It had just been created by Jimmy Carter. It was less than 4 years old. He could have killed that in the cradle, and he should have. But nevertheless, it continued on. Charlotte Isserby saw what was going on. She dropped out, and with Phyllis Schlafly, the two of them wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Oh, of course, that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Nobody's trying to make the kids stupid. Nobody's trying to dumb down our children. And then you look at this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
5 plus 5 plus 5 equals 15. No, that's wrong.
Well, okay. David, you even see it on mainstream television. They have that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Mm-hmm. You know, where adults go out there and they can't answer, you know, regular basic math. And then we always see those comparisons of grade school math 50 years ago as opposed to it is today. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have difficulty solving these problems. So whether it's deliberate or not, there has been a dumbing down in the United States of America.
Well, there was the article, we're going to have the presidential debate tonight, we're going to talk about that. There was the article that came out this weekend or the end of last week saying that Donald Trump uses in his speeches a fourth grade level
communication.
Communication, yeah. They score these things. And of course, there's a reason he does that, because that they found that the dumber your speeches are, the more popular you are. Okay, the ones who were doing the worst were the ones who had the speeches rated at the highest grade level. And let's not even talk about what George Washington wrote. That would be an 18th grade level, not a fourth grade level. So yeah, it is a deliberate dumbing down. And when the Southern Poverty Law Center says, no, you know, the Common Core is just a set of standards. There's no curriculum. There's no test. It's like absolute baloney. Absolute. What is it if it's not curriculum? What is it if it's not test? If you have a test and they admit, oh, yeah, they're coming up with Common Core tests, we all understand, anybody that's been involved in education, my wife has a master's degree, and many people in my family taught. I went to school, actually. And anybody that's been in school knows that if you define the tests, you define the curriculum, and you can use these national tests to impose your curriculum even on private schools. And that's the essence of this. So just even the very first one, I mean, really bad timing from the SPLC on this. Absolutely absurd. Now, earlier in the show, we had Leanne McAdoo calling in live from St. Louis. And of course, she is at a hotspot near a nuclear waste near St. Louis. And there is a landfill fire that is raging towards that radioactive waste. Here's a short overview that she posted that you can see on InfoWars.com.
Leanne McAdoo reporting for Infowars.com. I'm here in St. Louis, Missouri. As you can see, it's a very rainy day. I'm standing just outside of the radioactive Westlake landfill. It's located in a densely populated suburb of St. Louis. 50,000 tons of highly radiotoxic, uncontained nuclear waste lies just beyond that fence. It's St. Louis's nuclear legacy, remnants from the Cold War. But if that wasn't bad enough, there is a simmering underground fire in an adjacent landfill just about 1,000 feet away. And that fire is creeping ever closer every single day to the nuclear waste. Of course, if the fire reaches the nuclear landfill, that has the possibility to release a toxic plume of radioactive smoke into the air, threatening the residents here in St. Louis. Those residents are growing increasingly concerned. An evacuation plan was just sent home with school children, warning parents what to do in the event that one of these radioactive plumes is released. That includes sheltering in place or evacuating the area entirely. We're going to be here for the next few days covering this state of emergency, as well as the EPA's response to what they're going to be doing with this nuclear waste. We're going to be interviewing some families who are victims of some of the secret dumping of this uranium. We're going to get into the background of this company that did a lot of this secret dumping. And by the way, the Manhattan Project, the remnants from the Manhattan Project, they're not just localized to St. Louis. They're actually dumped in more than 24 states in the United States. So this could be happening in your backyard. Your family could be suffering cancer clusters throughout the generations like they're seeing here in St. Louis. So stay tuned to Infowars.com for more reports.
Very important to know what's going on in your local area. Many people don't even know where the nuclear waste is in their area or where there are nuclear reactors. We have one. Many people are surprised. Here in Austin, it's not a power plant, but it's part of the university. Where does that nuclear waste go? Where does the hospital nuclear waste in your community go? So you should be informed about that. You need to be informed about your health. And of course, before Leanne went to St. Louis for this report, she was doing a liver cleanse. You could follow her progress with reports that she's been posting on Infowars.com and on the Real Alex Jones YouTube channel. We have a special on liver cleanse. You can get 25% off right now, the liver cleanse pack for this week only. Get the Infowars Life liver cleanse pack for 25% off the regular retail price at InfowarsLife.com. Now, I pointed out you can watch Leanne's progress. If you also want to know more about the actual process of a liver cleanse, we had Dr. Group come in and talk to Alex about that. Here's a little clip of that.
And when you eat all these toxins, if you ate McDonald's nuggets 20 years ago that had plasticizers in them, your gallbladder and your liver doesn't know what to do. So the liver basically excretes that into the gallbladder and it holds it. Just Google gallbladder stones and it's disgusting, but you need to look at it. And when you finally get filled up with these, it bursts or it gets infected and they've got to remove it. And we'll scroll through these. There's even grosser ones. Like, let's scroll down. On average, they're green or black. If they're black, they're really old and toxic. They're generally green. And this stuff's meant to be passed out of you, but we eat such artificial food that it doesn't. These are way beyond kidney stones, you name it. You also have liver stones. And medical doctors won't tell you on average, hey, flush your liver. They'll just say, hey, your liver's sick. It's going to get progressively worse. We're going to get you on a list for a liver transplant. It is unbelievable. We're showing these disgusting images. So about a year and a half ago, Anthony Gucciardi just said, man, I just did a Dr. Group's liver cleanse, the one he recommends. And he's developing this proprietary stuff. He's testing on himself right now. You really ought to do it. The results are dramatic after 6 days. And I'm like, no way I'm doing it. I don't believe that there's giant black or green balls in my gallbladder. And this is how ignorant I am. How does the apple cider vinegar organic with the oxy powder and with the liver trex over a six-day cleanse, how does it then when you take the olive oil at the end, lay on your side for an hour as you go to sleep, why does it then have the gallbladder release?
What you should do, and this is what our proprietary research led us to do back starting in the early 90s when we were looking at the best ways to cleanse the liver, was to develop an herbal formula that contains herbs that will help soften or break down these globules or these stones in the liver and the gallbladder. And that's really what the first 5 days is for. That's where you mix the bottle of Liver Shield. You pour the whole bottle in a gallon of distilled water, and then you drink 4 8-ounce glasses a day of that 4 or 5 days. At the same time, though, you're also using the apple cider vinegar, and that's going to be the liver flush kit that we put together exclusively for InfoWars, you know, viewers and the people.
And again, you can find that information on InfoWarsLife.com. We have 25% off the liver cleanse pack. You can see that video. You can see exactly how to do a liver cleanse, and you can save 25% off of the liver cleanse pack right now. Now, Jakari, there's an article up today about a Wi-Fi device that can see people through concrete walls. And quite frankly, I've seen this technology in articles about this before. Mm-hmm. The fact that they can use the Wi-Fi signals that are going through your house, essentially, to image you inside of your house. People just don't realize how vulnerable we are, how easy it is to surveil everything that we want to do from people who may not have exactly honorable intentions, okay? But that's just one aspect of it. But, of course, the big enchilada is going to be the information that all the social media sites and Google are all collecting on us all the time, everything we do on the internet.
Yes.
And now what they're doing is they're using this new bill, CISA, as a club over the head of all these social media companies. Tell us about that.
That's exactly right. I have this article from Vox. You can find this on any news site, but I like this one because they start off with this big picture of Dianne Feinstein, who, you know, David, I'm a huge fan of. The Senate just passed a bill that could help the NSA spy on you. And they have a nice picture of Mrs. Feinstein right there in the front. And talks about on Tuesday, the Senate passed legislation that supporters say could boost internet security by encouraging companies to share information about online threats with one another and with the government. And it passed 74 to 21. But a little bit down in the article, they mentioned this. Not everybody is a fan of it and says it doesn't have very much support among security experts in the private sector. And two leading technology industry trade groups representing giants like Google, Apple, and Microsoft that are targets by hackers more than anybody else on the internet, oppose it. So you think about this, David. I believe Google and Apple, I'm not sure about Microsoft, these were all mentioned in the PRISM scandal. And now they're saying that we don't want to share our information with the government. Now, you could say, you know, they have trade secrets, whatever. They don't want people looking up their skirt. But maybe it's a little bit more than that. And they just realize that they don't want their privacy to be violated, just like it's being violated for us. Just like you said with the image on the Wi-Fi scanner, you also have the CIA director bragging about how he's going to spy on you through mm-hmm. your dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying about Dianne Feinstein, who is a cheerleader on this, I also have this other article.
Feinstein, yeah, we can look at it. And let me just interject here, too. You know, we mentioned this thing about people can look at you even through concrete walls. And people kind of look at that and go, oh, that's kind of bad. That's kind of creepy. Just like when Tom Mabe went around with the boom mic.
Yeah.
And to people on the street as they're talking on the phone or they're talking on a bench and he sticks a microphone in their face and they're like, hey, get away from me. Or when Alex went into Google mm-hmm. and he sticks a camera in front of their face and they're sitting in front of a laptop that is recording everything that they're saying. So it's just not having people realize where this is. But I think one of the things the companies like Google and Facebook and all these companies, they're starting to get worried that people are going to, I think, certainly not the younger people, but older people are starting to get concerned about this violation of their privacy. I think they think that that could hurt them to do that, for them to have to do that. Plus, they don't want to have to turn over all this information and become essentially a spy network for the government. They've been able in the past to say, hey, I can't give you all this information because I could get sued by these people. Now they're saying, no, you're not going to get sued, so hand it over. Hand it over right now, okay? And if you don't, we're going to come after you, basically threatening them that way. So they don't want to be the guy in the middle, but that's the way the government has rolled with this third-party collection of data. That's what's so dangerous about all of this.
Oh, yeah, even we've seen with the social media sites. They said, we won't give your private information to the government unless they come and ask for it.
Yeah, you know? Then we'll do it. But some of them have held out. Twitter has held out in some cases. Many of these others, as we've seen with the Snowden documents, have been on with this from the very beginning, like Microsoft. Shortly after that, Google came in. Apple was one of the last holdouts. I think they probably didn't come in until Steve Jobs was gone. It looked like about the time that they came on board with the NSA was about the time that Tim Cook
took over. So you have these different companies that have had different attitudes toward it, but they are basically going to be at the beck and call of the NSA, of the FBI, of all these things. So it's going to be a huge business cost to them, even if it doesn't harm them from a public perspective. So of course they don't want to have that. That's the thing that we all have to be concerned about, though, is that we need to understand how dangerous this is and how pervasive this is, and now they have green-lighted it for everything. Stay with us when we come back. Jakari and I are going to talk about what's going to happen tonight. We're going to have live coverage of the GOP debate. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight with Jakari Jackson. We're going to talk about tonight's debate in this segment. And, of course, we're going to be covering that live with live commentary. Alex Jones is going to be joining us, and the rest of the InfoWars crew will be commenting on the debate tonight. This third GOP debate will focus on the economy. And the elephant in the GOP room is going to be this budget deal that Boehner has just cut with Obama. You need to understand that when Boehner, back in 2011, when they first did the first deal with President Obama, they have increased, according to CNS News, nearly $4 trillion in debt. Back at that point in time, back in March 4th, 2011, the federal debt was just over $14 trillion. Then we had the debt ceiling raise, you know, $16 trillion, $17 trillion. Do I hear $20 trillion? Yes. It's like an auction between Boehner and Obama. You know, we've really got now, I guess we ought to have a new game show instead of let's make a deal. We could have the $20 trillion pyramid, because that's what this whole thing is. It's a pyramid scheme.
That's basically what it is. It's a game show
now. It's a Ponzi, yeah. And of course, yeah, we've got the multiple levels of game shows. We've got the Celebrity Big Brother, which is all about the personalities between these guys. But the thing they're not going to talk about is this massive, massive debt that John Boehner is doing. And of course, the amazing thing about this, too, when we talk about Boehner, is we've got this Speaker House race, which is going to be taking place tomorrow. And it's not even a race. This is going to be a selection. They have He's already selected his successor. When his previous successor stepped down, he immediately stopped that election. And so now he's got somebody else, Paul Ryan-O. And they're going to have he's going to be the new speaker. And that's going to be a deal tomorrow. And people aren't even paying attention to this. And this is something that is going to affect us as much as the presidency, which is another year off. And you can see how this affects us, because you can see what Boehner has done with Obama to get this $20 trillion debt. As the New American points out, he did an end run around the usual House procedures. That's what Boehner does all the time. He went over the heads of numerous committee chairmen to deal directly with the White House. In essence, the deal emasculates the sequester cuts that were built into the law back in 2011, back $4 trillion ago. It gives Obama a blank check to fund his government through the end of the second term, expands military spending and all this other stuff. That's precisely what they're doing again with the trade treaties. I'll be surprised, really, if they talk much about that except just, oh, yeah, free trade is great for us. They're not going to talk about the globalist aspects of it. They're not going to talk about the secret aspect of it. They're not going to talk about the fact that it was Republicans who gave Obama a blank check on these trade agreements, Jakari.
And everybody who gets up and complains about this or we're spending money on that, you have to understand, just as you said, they have a blank check to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That includes spy on you. It includes, you know, put all these military vehicles on the streets. So it always comes back to something. These things just didn't happen overnight. It's a process, and this is a look into that process.
Yeah, it's just amazing. He's going to do this. Boehner's going to do this. This is a two-year deal. He did it over so-called conservative opposition, although they haven't opposed him on who he wants as speaker. And, of course, we know that Paul Ryan-O pushed for this fast-track trade authority. He has pushed for open borders. He's pushing for everything that they want for global governance. But as Boehner says, I'm going to leave Ryan-O with a clean barn. He says, I don't want to leave him with a dirty barn. I want to clean the barn up a little bit before he gets out of here. Well, you know what? If he wants to get the excrement out of the barn, he needs to start with Paul Ryan-O, the biggest piece of BS in the Congress right now. Tonight, we're going to be talking about issues that they won't talk about, like, where do they get their money? We're going to talk about that tonight. Join us for live commentary tonight, 7 Central, on the InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be covering what they don't ask at MSNBC?
I think it's CNBC.
CNBC, whatever. It's a left-wing organization. I'm sure they're going to be pushing minimum wage, free tuition for everyone forever, those types of issues.
Yes.
And the governors will be saying, I created more jobs than anybody in history. Join us tonight at 7 Central.